Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious. My goodness gracious. It's going to be a full morning. It's going to be a full morning. In the next hour, or in the 10 o'clock hour, 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about, and I think this is a very important issue, the Democrats have talked about their 100-hour plan. Okay. What would Martin Luther King do in the first 100 hours? We're going to talk to an organization that has put out a report on what the needs are of the community and whether or not this 100-hour plan by the Democrats addresses any of those issues. In the 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to our good friends at Connect Care about arthritis. You don't want to miss that. And in the next hour, in the 7 o'clock hour, we will be talking to witnesses from the murder of Jeremy by the police. Right here on the wake-up call, you will be able to hear the voices of those who saw that baby boy slaughtered by the police. It's all riveting radio. I like that, Howard. You like that? Riveting radio. You like that? We'll be back. Stay with us.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters, no matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU, 920 a.m.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Everything will be alright. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied, she's afraid what they've been doing is not right. He doesn't.
Welcome back. Don't let go of my hand. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Ooh, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. And just a heads up, with the school issue, you know they are trying to nullify your vote. Engage in voter nullification by eliminating your elected school board. That's unacceptable. This is our stuff. We decide this. Francis Slay, Lil Boy Blunt, and Jim Shrewsbury are all about taking away voters' the right to vote. Come on now. And the vote on this may take place on Thursday. We need lots and lots and lots of people going up there. You can go up there. There is a bus that is going up there. They are leaving at 6:15 from Local 420, 2710 Hampton on the 11th. It's at 6:15 a.m. in the morning, my time. 2710 Hampton, Local 420, that's on the 11th. You need to get on the bus. You need to get up there. You need to raise some cane about no. The answer is no. The answer is no. 1-877-920-WGNU. Check this out. Check this out. Check this out. They're bombing Africa right now. They're all up in Somalia. Bombing Iraq. Ships off the shore of Iran. This is what we do. This is what the United States does. This is what this, let me take the we out of that. This is what this administration does. In chaos is opportunity for wicked people. Let me say that again. In chaos, there's opportunity for wicked people. Let me say that one more time. In chaos, there is opportunity for wicked people. This administration, in the chaos of all of this, in the bombing of all of this, in the madness of all of this, the beat goes on in Iraq. Over 3,000 of our boys and girls, men and women, fathers and sons, brothers and sisters, babies have died in this wicked, 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 wicked war based on a lie wrapped in deceit. And then chaos provides opportunity. There is opportunity for wicked people. The beat goes on. The embassy that the United States has built in Iraq. You know how much it's cost? You know how much it's cost? $592 million. Y'all want to know where you want to know why this war cost so much? They built a $592 million embassy in Iraq. You want to know more? You want to know more? You want to know how big it is? I want you to feel what they're doing in Iraq in your name. It covers 104 acres. We want some perspective on it. 6 times larger than the United Nations compound in New York. In Iraq, why do we need a $592 million, 104-acre embassy in Iraq? Why do we need that? It is in a city within a city. You know how many people can stay there? At this embassy, 1,000 people. It has its own water, unlike Baghdad. It has its own sewers, unlike Baghdad. It has its own electricity. It has 6 apartment buildings. It has a marine barracks. It has swimming pools and shops, and the walls are 15 feet thick. 15 feet thick. You hear me? Do you hear me? And check this out. Check this out. For some reason or other, they're having trouble finding diplomats who want to go and serve in this 500 plus million dollar compound, embassy in Iraq. For some reason, diplomats think it's an insane idea to go and serve at an embassy where you can't keep the city safe. For some reason, the diplomats feel that, well, why would I go in the most dangerous place in the world when we're pulling out troops? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? What does Condoleezza Rice say? Condoleezza Rice, who was buying $1,000 shoes during the aftermath, the during math of Katrina. What did Condoleezza let them buy shoes have to say? She says, and I quote, "This is your diplomatic duty." Now remember, this baby went into Iraq. When she went into Baghdad with Boy George, they left the helicopter running. Remember, they went down in dark, left the helicopter running, stayed 45 minutes, and got the hockey puck up out of there. They got the hockey puck up out of there. But she says that, oh, it's your diplomatic duty. In fact, they say, you know what, we're not going to give out any other diplomatic, we're not going to hand out any other diplomatic jobs until the diplomats get their scary selves to Baghdad in the 542,104-acre, 1,000-person embassy. Let them buy shoes there. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? The State Department had told the Financial Times that the civilian presence in Iraq has grown considerably beyond the numbers projected. Oh, and I'm sorry. I've been talking to you like this thing is, like this deal is done. They haven't finished building it yet. So if they're saying $592 million now, it'll be $700 million by September. Because that's how they roll. In chaos, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, members of the jury, in chaos there's opportunity for wicked people. Why do they need that big of a compound? Why do they need a city? Because we are occupiers in Iraq, and we went there to steal the oil, and you can't steal the oil if you don't have a fortress to fight from. That's why. That's why. Dan, good morning. Good morning, Dan.
I want to say Happy New Year. I really missed you on the air.
Oh, well, thank you. Happy 007 to you as well.
Thank you, ma'am. And I just wanted to comment on Iraq, I guess, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess tomorrow Bush is going to announce a further increase in troops to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be very, breaking for the Army. I think the Army's really extended too much.
Well, think about it. How do you get a surge when you're already at the breaking point?
Exactly. And I think, you know, we have a volunteer army.
That is correct.
Not like it was in when I was in years ago in Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
Where you could, you know, Lyndon Johnson could say, well, I want another 100,000 guys, and they'd draft another 100,000.
Mm-hmm. They didn't draft Boy George, and they didn't draft Dick Cheney, but they did draft, didn't they?
Yes, ma'am. And they mostly were poor kids.
That's correct.
From farms in the urban areas.
That's correct.
And I think most of those kids today are from the same places because they can't get good jobs.
That is correct.
And another thing is, you know, eventually that's going to dry up too because these kids are going to say, well, there's no, you know, I'm not going to get my ass shot at.
Well, you know, I think when you're desperate, you're going to stay in places differently than people that were drafted. I don't know, Dan. I don't know, because desperate people do desperate things. And also,
right.
Understand that this government has recognized what you have articulated. And one of the places that they're going to go next is to go to people that are that have another kind of desperation who want their citizenship.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
They're going to go
you're
there
right.
to get people. They're already saying, okay, you can be dang near 50 to fight in the war. They're saying that you don't have to pass the intellectual test. You don't have to pass the psychological test. You don't have to pass the physical test. You don't have to pass the drug test. They're already doing that.
Well, I used to work for the Army, and they established a weight loss battalion where if you were overweight, you were automatically rejected. But now they have a battalion that you can go into, and they put you through a 6-week training program, and you can lose weight if you're at the proper fat mass index at the end of that period. You can go on to basic training.
Mm.
So that's how hard up they are.
And I got a roll, but thank you, Dan.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a good day.
You
and
too.
And I'm glad to see you back.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Tim.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I know I haven't called in a while, so I hope everything's been all right for you.
Everything's been fabulous.
Well, that's good. Well, you know what I'm about to talk about, and that's Somalia.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I was sick when I heard that yesterday. I just want to let, like I said, the public know that I'm a Muslim, you know, and it is a shame that, you know, this is a war against Islam. It's not another war against terrorism. I mean, on terrorism. And, you know, you look at Ethiopia, false Somalia, a couple of weeks ago, and it was backed by U.S. Now, all of a sudden, the United States just said that they weren't going to send any troops in Somalia. Then last night, they bombed it.
That's right.
You know, it is a crime what is going on against Muslims all over the world, and nobody seems to care. You know, like I said, I'm a Muslim, and it hurts me because I'm right here in this country. And, you know, it's a shame to know that this government, you know, is representing, you know, and like I said, how can I be around a lot of Somalis that I know here knowing that this government is doing this? A lot of Somalis that come here are really some of the Somalis that don't care back home. You know, Somalia wanted an opposed to Sharia law, which is, you know, is also the neighborhoods was ran rampant. It was going crazy, so they wanted to try to have some, you know, order in the neighborhood. But America didn't want that. So, you know, like I said, everywhere Sharia is trying to be imposed, United States wants to attack it. You look at Fallujah, look at Ramadi, you know, you look at Iran, you look at Afghanistan, everywhere, Indonesia, you know, but United States wants wants reformist Muslim or moderate Muslims to be control of the country, the way they can always be puppets. I just think it's a shame for Muslims all over the world to be constantly attacked by the United States and nobody says anything.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic looks like this. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing. You can expect slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44 in Big Bend. There's some delays on either side of that exchange. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason. It is slow. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. Look for delays there as well. Westbound 270 from Old Falls Ferry through West Florissant. Traffic's building there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for some delays. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79 is on the move, but is starting to stack up. And northbound 55 from Butler Hill through the 255-270 interchange. Look for no delays. Also, eastbound 44 between Soccer Park and 270 is on the move with some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now this hour's weather looks like this. Blustery, mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day. Chance of sprinkles and or flurries this morning. Steady temps around the mid-30s for this evening. Mostly clear. Colder with a low in the upper 20s. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. And Thursday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high expected around the 50-degree mark or so. Currently we have 39 degrees, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 31. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This new year, put meeting the love of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's no experience more magical than falling in love with that one person in the world that sees you, accepts you, and loves you passionately for who you really are.
He loves me for me.
He sees me more for who I really am.
Being seen and loved for who I am is incredible.
eHarmony helped me find the love of my life.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your personality profile free. Let's get started finding your soulmate today. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is their phone number. 454-6609 is our fax. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown, and Happy New Year to you, and welcome back, and I miss you, and you can't leave us. And I saw Condoleezza Rice in the Payless store the other day.
No, you didn't.
She bought, She bought the whole store. But I'm telling you, it's kind of amazing. They got a new the girl that Bush tried to nominate for the Supreme Court. She's resigned. So now they got another old guy who they owe a favor to from the 9/11 commission, just like that Warren commission that they got to pay back so they won't tell the truth of what happened. So what they conjuring up, bringing back all these old guys from the former Bush, worked for Reagan back from the 70s, like Rumsfeld and Cheney. We getting the same old regurgitation of thought and philosophy and ideology. It's just ludicrous.
Well, you bring it. I mean, look, you know, in all fairness to Boy George and his decision making, if you're trying to commit crimes, okay, you go and you get people that know how to commit crimes. And why wouldn't you get the same people that hid all those truths, that told all those lies, that committed all those crimes under Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon, et cetera? Why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah, do you really think our government would be lying to you? Miss, I just can't believe that you fall into that trap. It's all truth, people. They're telling us the truth. You know better than that. And then we have the young men and women over here dying needlessly. And they go after the Somalias, and they go after a little town in Mogadishu, but they don't go after. And where's Iran and Syria and North Korea? I don't hear them in the news any longer.
But you notice that they're not on the ground in Somalia. They ain't that stupid.
Oh, well,
they're only bombing. They are bombing. They ain't on the ground.
Well, that's that new war thing that they talk about. They think that they can get them to submit by the barrel of a gun, and until they realize that that don't work anymore. Well, it didn't work back in at World War II because we just mopped up in World War II, and we didn't go over there and do nothing. But Liz, I can't believe that you think this girl can afford cheap shoes. Have you seen her feet?
Goodbye. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz, and good morning to your listener. This is just Todd. How you doing?
Thank you, and I'm outstanding.
Okay, first of all, I oppose the takeover of the school board by Blunt and Shrewsbury and Slate.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I will be going to Jeff City Thursday morning, and I wrote a letter and called them about that takeover. What I talked to you about was in that report. I was at the meeting, and I have a draft of the report they wrote. One thing they did, they wrote it down, but they didn't emphasize, is that poverty is the real issue, and with the kids in the St. Louis public schools, for example, 35 on the elementary level, 33% of the kids move. 85% on the middle level and 77% on the high school level. And homelessness, 3 out of 10 kids per each year, up during the year, is homeless. The other thing is that 85% of them are in poverty.
But wait a minute, Jesse. You're talking as if this is a discussion about policy. It is not a discussion. What Francis Slay, Matt Blunt, and Jim Shrewsbury want has nothing to do with policy. It has to do with power. So yes, what you're saying is a factor, but we're not talking about factors of what has made the school district, what are the challenges that face the St. Louis Public School District. What is the challenge that's facing the St. Louis Public School District right now is not about what policies will work and what policies won't work. It's about who wants the money in the St. Louis Public Schools, what politicians, what politics are driving this decision. So, let's not get it twisted. It's about power, it's about politics, and it's about the money.
I agree 100%. I'll give you another example. The St. Louis Teachers Union gave a 5-point plan. I just summarized 2 or 3 of them. Smaller class sizes, a couple of alternative schools, start kids to school at preschool, things of that nature, and affordable housing and health care, those types of things. So I agree with you. They didn't address any of the challenges of the things.
It's not about addressing it, Jesse. They're not going to bring it up because it is not about policy. It begins with a P, politics.
I agree. And on Thursday, I hope today, I hope everybody can call Kit King and I write him an email. And then on Thursday, I hope that bus is full, because, Liz, they're doing it to us in St. Louis today. But believe me, greed, they are, I'm going to use your term, they don't, you, a greedy person can't hold his belly in.
That's right.
He's going to go out and eat up everybody, or she's going to go out and eat up everybody they can eat.
That's fact. They never rest. They never get full.
So I'm asking people, whether you live in the city or county, please help us now, because you're going to need our help in the future.
That's fact. Because
they
came for us. They're coming for you.
That's right. So thank you so much for all you do, Liz.
Thank you,
and
Jesse.
Thank you for coming, being back.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And for those of you that don't know, that there is a bus that is going up to Jefferson City, leaving from 420, local 420. The address is 2710 Hampton. It leaves at on the 11th at 6:15 in the morning to be up there for the vote by the Education Commission up in Jefferson City. You need to get on the bus at 6:15 a.m. And the address is 2710 Hampton. That's local 420. And it's leaving on the 11th, because that's when the vote is supposed to take place. Be on the bus. 1-877-920-WGNU. Korean vet, good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome back, Mrs. Brown.
Thank you.
Welcome back in 2007.
007.
Yeah, and my coffee didn't taste as good when you left, but it's getting better now that you're back. But, Miss Brown, I think the United States is planning to occupy over in Iraq. That's why they're building. I read some time ago they're planning to, they're going to stay in Iraq. And I don't know where they're going to get the forces from, but I'll say this, with the Democrats coming in and taking over, if they don't cut the money off, then that's what they're going to do. They're going to occupy Iraq. That's the way I feel. They're building that to stay. The United States going to keep people in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're trying to do.
And their tentacles are reaching. I saw where they were over around there bombing head to warships off the coast right there, Somalia and so forth. But I thought that the African Union was going to furnish the 8,000 troops, you know. But the U.S. backed the Ethiopians to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I tell you, it's...
out of, again, chaos provides an opportunity for wicked people.
I think that was a very ingenious statement that you got there. But something bad is coming up. All right, thank you, and have a blessed day.
Take care of yourself. Happy New Year. 1-877-920-WGNU. There are there's thievery afoot in the United States and this administration. Stealing and bombing all over the world. Stealing and bombing all over the world. Oh. Glenn.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I just heard you mention a little while ago that this struggle is not about policy, which I agree, but I also think that this struggle over the school system in St. Louis is also about returning to a very very masked form of segregation. If you look at how they're trying to get these magnet schools in and these charter schools in, which have a selection process. And when you have a selection process, like the ones in Chicago, well, they have a CEO of the schools where Mayor Daley is over the
school. And the schools are failing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a lady called, I was listening to a program on NPR earlier, and a lady called in from, she had a five-year-old child that's in the school district, and she was calling in to complain. And she's one of the things she said was that the schools in her neighborhood aren't run right. She said, but the charter systems that they have set up use a very stringent selection process.
Just like private schools.
Yeah.
Just
like outside the schools. She said, it's so bad, she said, most parents just give up trying to get the kids into school.
That is correct.
Which is a way that they use to select certain students. Now, this is a public school.
That is
correct. So you're not supposed to select those kids you want. You're supposed to take them as they are. But by going back to this kind of system, it allows them to take, you know, 5 blacks, 50 whites. You know what I mean? And it just goes on like that till you end up with a system. You got these beautiful schools, predominantly white, very few black people, And then you got on the other side, you got all those, all the other schools that lack the resources because they're all being concentrated and all the money's been stolen to the charter system.
The argument should be, and I always felt this, to me, it was never about integration. The whole concept of integration in my mind is a condescending racist slap at African people. The idea of integration that black kids learn better when they're seated next to white kids, nonsense. Nonsense. It's a racist concept. What any African person ever should have wanted, and many, many did, give us our doggone money. This is our tax money. Put the same amount of money in our schools as you put anywhere else. Everybody be fine. Everybody be fine. So we can't get caught up in, and that was so interesting about this recommendation by these compromised death squad members, the Danforths and the Frankie Freemans and the Suggses out here. They talked all up and down about we need to get more black kids, we need to bust more black kids out to white schools. Shut up. Shut up. Give us.
You brought that up. I have an opinion about that, and it's this. You notice that almost all the studies can always line up blacks against whites or whites against blacks or compare the academic performance of whites and blacks. But you know they never include Asians in that mix who routinely outscore whites almost 2-1 on almost every single category. Matter of fact, the gap between that they advertise, which I think is not accurate, but the gap that they advertise between whites and blacks is equal among almost Asian kids against the white.
So they don't talk about white. They don't talk about white kids. Not the gap of white kids. Got to roll. Got to roll. That's a good point. Got to roll. We'll be back. Stay with me.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the automatic watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks automatic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Automatic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Daddy was a soldier. He taught me about freedom. Peace and all the once I fed the homeless, I'll never forget the look upon their faces as I treated them with respect.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown, and the number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. What do we call it? Riveting radio this morning. Riveting radio this morning. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will be talking to the folks from the United for a Fair Economy. They put out a report, State of the Dream, Voting Blue, Staying in the Red. Don't you like that? Voting blue and staying in the red. What would Martin Luther King do during the first 100 hours of this Democratic majority in the House and the Senate? We're going to be talking to the folks at United for a Fair Economy about their report, State of the Dream 2007, Voting Blue, Staying in the Red. And in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to our friends from Connect Care all about arthritis. You don't want to miss that, folks. And then coming up in a few minutes, we will be talking to a witness to the murder of the baby Jeremy, whose funeral takes place today by the St. Louis Police Department. I'm talking about a cop who killed one of our babies in cold blood. We'll be talking to an eyewitness to that. Riveting radio indeed. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, I recently read an article this week from Dr. Frank, said that the longer that Bush stays in office, the more dangerous it becomes. And I'm believing that right now with the airstrikes in Somalia and whatnot. What's your opinion on that?
Been saying it from the moment that Reagan got elected. I've been saying the longer they stay in office, the worse it is for all of us.
Okay,
absolutely.
If I find that article again, do you need me to email you that?
Certainly. You can always email me things.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye. Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, do it at 1-877-920-WGNU. The new American operational commander in Iraq said, even with additional American troops, it will take another 2 or 3 years for American and Iraqi forces to gain the upper hand in the war, you think? Lieutenant General Raymond T. Adenero assumed the day-to-day control of war operations last month, and he said, oh, no, at least 2 or 3 years. At least 2 or 3. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. Andrew, good morning.
Power is the people.
Mm.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you?
Happy New Year to you.
Happy 007. What's up?
Oh, this country done lost it going over to Iraq.
Come again?
I think they need to close down and rethink what they're doing.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
It's all about the freedom, Liz. They don't want the people to be free.
No, I don't think it's that at all, Andrew. I don't think it's that at all. I think it is far more specific than that. This is not about not wanting people to have freedom. It's about stealing their oil.
Their country taking their oil.
They're doing
the same thing right here.
Iraq has the third largest oil reserves in the world. And as we speak, they're getting ready to be thrown open for large-scale exploitation by Western oil companies. How? Because they have been working on this from the moment that we bombed that country and invaded that country. It's all about getting control of their oil.
Using destruction to rob and steal and just take everything you got is a little bit too powerful for me, Liz.
Mm.
But freedom is free, Liz. Power is freedom is free.
Thanks for your call, Andrew. 1-877-920-WGNU. Several major oil companies have sent teams. I guess they can afford it with multi-billion dollar profits. They sent teams into Iraq, and then just in the last few months, to get their deals cut before the law is changed, so that the one thing that Saddam Hussein said was, no, you can't have our oil. And help me, because I really have a hard time with keeping up on the history of things. What happened to Saddam Hussein? Oh, yeah, he was executed by America. You cannot throw a stone and hide your hand. America had absolute control of, absolute possession of Saddam Hussein. And yet he's put into the hands of other folks that this country says are murdering people. And he was lynched. Saddam Hussein was lynched. Saddam Hussein was lynched. And our country did it. 1-877-920-WGNU. Now let me make it clear. With Iraq's oil reserves, the third largest in the world, let me make that clear. Let me break that down so it stays forever broke. What that means is there are 115 billion barrels waiting to be extracted. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? 115 billion dollars waiting to be, 115 billion barrels waiting to be extracted. Washington.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
I think I called you once before and told you that I'm a cab driver, and I picked up a guy, a soldier from the airport.
That is correct.
Came out in Wildwood, and he told me that he can tell me something that he couldn't tell his mother, father, preacher, friends, nobody. That he worked on the ship that siphoned oil from Iraq, taking it back to American storage bins. And when we got through talking, he said, I don't even want you to take me all the way home because I don't want you to know where I live at. Yeah, I let him out at the filling station. But he said he worked on the ship that siphoned oil, taking it back to America.
Mm.
And on another note, this new Democratic-controlled Congress or whatever is not going to appeal none of those outrageous laws that George Bush put in place. Simple reason that I believe that they are doing the J. Edgar Hoover on the Congress, on our politicians, and they got something on during there, every last one of them clowns, and they're not going to open their mouth against George Bush because they would destroy their career with the information that they got on them. That's my sentiment, and I believe that, and I think it's true.
All right now, Washington. Take care.
Yes.
1-877-920-WGNU. Don't miss it. A witness to the murder of Jeremy by a St. Louis City cop. Right here on the wake-up call. In just a few minutes. Stay with me.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
I'm Daria Albinger. American aircraft took aim at suspected al-Qaeda targets in Somalia. The East African government says it knew about the mission, that it supports it. Somali Information Minister Ali Jama on the BBC.
The Americans and the Somali government, as well as the countries in the region, have an agreement to get rid of these international terrorists from this region.
A witness says helicopter gunships struck near the same area as the U.S. attack, but it's not clear yet whose helicopters attacked. In Baghdad, more explosions, more gunfire in a neighborhood where Iraqi soldiers are backed by U.S. forces. A government spokesman says it's time to wipe out terrorist hideouts once and for all. President Bush is expected to announce plans to increase U.S. troops in Iraq by about 20,000. He could make it official in his speech to the nation tomorrow night, and many congressional Democrats say they'll try and stop him. More from ABC's Vic Ratner on Capitol Hill.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who supports more troops, says it would be a huge mistake for Congress to try to tie the president's hands on Iraq policy.
Let's not compound the mistakes of the past.
Democratic leaders say they'll give the troops now in Iraq everything they need, but might try to put limits on new troops going there. Democrat Barack Obama.
I don't think that 15,000 or 20,000 more troops is going to make a difference in Iraq and in Baghdad.
Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
The fire itself wasn't that big, but the damage it caused to Malibu, the upscale California coastal community, was substantial. At least four multi-million-dollar mansions were destroyed. One woman who just got out of there says she barely made it out in time. The first BCS National Championship college football game is in the history books, and the winner is Florida, the team some didn't think deserved to go. The Gators beat Ohio State 41-14. This is ABC News.
It's okay to be nervous. It's okay to be timid. It's okay when there's the unknown out in front of you. But it's also okay to believe in yourself. It's okay to put yourself out there. It's okay to try something new. It's okay to say, it's my turn. It's okay.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look. In fact, Match.com is so confident that you'll find someone special within 6 months, we guarantee it. It's only at the all-new Match.com. See site for details.
Time. It's all you can think about when aches and pains are keeping you up. Starting tonight, switch from Tylenol PM to Advil PM and spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep. Advil PM has the multi-pain relieving power of Advil, plus a non-habit-forming sleep aid to gently ease you into a full night's sleep. So switch to Advil PM. Less time lying awake, more time asleep. Use as directed. Brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
You want to feel old? This should do the trick. Some acts you probably considered cool and cutting edge are headed into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here's ABC's David Blasting.
Patti Smith has been referred to as punk rock's poet laureate. She'll soon be referred to as Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Patti Smith, and she couldn't be happier.
It's a perfect day. It's Elvis Presley's birthday. R.E.M. is inducted.
It seems that feeling is mutual, R.E.M. member Mike Mills.
I'm probably actually happier for Patti Smith than I am for ourselves.
This year's other Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees include Van Halen, the Ronettes, the first rap act to get in, Grandmaster Flash, and the Furious Five. David Blaustein, ABC News, New York.
Google is a good place to work. The search engine topped the list in Fortune magazine's top 100 company survey. If you work there, you can do your laundry, drop off your dry cleaning, get an oil change, or even a massage while you're on the clock. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a man faces more charges in the murder of a Kirkwood police officer. 21-year-old Kevin Johnson allegedly solicited an individual to kill two witnesses in his case relating to the murder of Sergeant William McEntee in July of 2005. Johnson is now being charged with two counts of conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. He is already in custody on charges of murder, robbery, assault, and armed criminal action. Police are looking for witnesses in the hit-and-run death of a St. Louis man on Sunday night. 86-year-old George Kissel was struck as he was crossing the street in the 7800 block of Watson Road. The vehicle in question likely has damage on the driver's side and was described as small and dark. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is in office for a second term. The Democrat promised to offer bold solutions that make a difference for people. His inaugural address focused on the accomplishments of his first 4 years. The 50-year-old Chicago resident is the first Democrat elected to a second term as Illinois governor in over 40 years. Finally this hour, thousands of St. Louisans lined up for a shot at fame and fortune this past weekend. Residents piled into the Hilton Hotel downtown on Sunday morning for NBC's open casting call for its new primetime reality show, Fortune. The show will feature a group of America's richest philanthropists who will be presented with a variety of people who need money. Contestants would have 60 seconds to tell the panelists their story. Open casting calls are being held in at least six other cities across the nation. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 7 o'clock hour. Eastbound 70, approaching Bryan Road through Mid Rivers Mall. Look for an accident in left lane, and it's right before Mid Rivers Mall Drive. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit through Laclede's Landing. Look for some delays. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason. It is slow there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for some delays. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 255-270 interchange. Look for delays there. Northbound Route 3 on the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is starting to stack up. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant is on the move. Northbound 270 from Graboy through Big Bend. You've got some delays around the interchange. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44. Expect some delays. And eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. Look for some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at this hour's weather. Blustery, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day. Chance of sprinkles, even flurries this morning. Near steady temps in the mid-30s for this evening. Mostly clear, colder with a low in the upper 20s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-40s. And Thursday, partly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy throughout the day. With a chance of rain in the afternoon, the high is expected around the 50 degree mark. Currently, we have 38 degrees. Wind chill makes it feel like it's 30. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I remember a number of years ago, there was a shooting where a young African baby, a young man, young boy, lay dead in the street. His name was Garland Carter. I remember being involved in that case. I remember a cop by the name of Eddie Sanchez shot that baby time after time after time in the back. I remember Eddie Sanchez going to his car, his police car. Eddie Sanchez, you see, was a St. Louis police officer. Eddie Sanchez opened up the trunk of his car while Garland Carter lay dead on the ground. Eddie Sanchez reached into the trunk of his vehicle, pulled out a briefcase that was filled with throw-down weapons. He grabbed a weapon, closed the briefcase, shut the door, shut the lid of his trunk, and began walking back towards the dead body of Garland Carter. You see, the problem with Garland Carter is that Garland Carter didn't have a weapon on him. How was Eddie Sanchez going to explain that? How is Eddie Sanchez going to explain, Officer Eddie Sanchez going to explain that? He needed a gun. He needed a weapon. He needed
free to your door. Don't want a free razor?
He needed a explanation. As he was walking towards that body of the baby, Garland Carter, laying on the ground, citizens, people, mothers, fathers, surged upon Eddie Sanchez and said, "You're not going to throw that weapon down. You are not going to put that weapon at that baby." It wasn't the first time that a young black boy was gunned down by the St. Louis police, because we have another one today to talk about. My name is Liz Brown. We'll continue this conversation in just a few minutes. Stay with me.
free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Meet the faces of influenza, groups who should be immunized against influenza every year.
He's in the group 6 months to 5 years old.
I'm 4.5 years old.
Pregnant during influenza season.
We live with a baby under 6 months old.
I live with someone at risk.
Live with someone at risk.
I care for someone at risk.
I have a chronic medical condition.
Diabetes.
Asthma.
I have COPD, a serious lung disease.
I'm 50.
I'm over 50 years old.
Way over 50.
Do you see your family or yourself here? As one of the many faces of influenza, you and I and those close to us need to get vaccinated. Each year, about 36,000 Americans die from influenza and its complications. So see your health care provider about influenza immunization. Get immunized. Vaccination is a safe and effective way to prevent influenza. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza isn't the common cold. It's serious.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long-distance number, 1-877-920-WGNU. It seems like there's always an issue percolating through the streets, the air, the place that we call St. Louis. And I don't think that you can have a conversation about St. Louis and the issues that confronts St. Louis without having a discussion about the issue of crime and the issue of the police and the issues of race and the issues of class. You cannot have an honest, open discussion about St. Louis without including those topics in it. And we have that very situation confronting us today. Today there's going to be a funeral for a baby. His name is Jeremy. And we need to talk about why there is, instead of a basketball game or instead of a game on somebody's Xbox, why are we having a funeral for a baby by the name of Jeremy? I had talked to you earlier about having a conversation with a person that could tell us what happened to Jeremy. And that person was supposed to join us on the air this morning, and that person is concerned. And I can't say that I blame that witness. So we're going to have a conversation with two people that have been involved in this murder. Since the murder took place, let me start with Quincy Troop. Quincy, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
And you have a personal connection to this baby that's no longer playing the games of childhood, but is laying in a funeral home this morning. Talk to us about that.
Yes, well Jeremy was the child of my cousin's ex-wife, grandchild, rather. And it was really interesting because for the last 4 months, we've been talking to the mayor, been talking to other city officials and the Alderman of Black Caucus about how we can develop an environment that is wholesome and friendly for black kids, not just Jeremy, but just black kids that are out there in the hostile and caustic environment. And we passed Proposition P, and I was opposed to Proposition P because it did not provide adequate funds to develop programs and plans for these kids to give them some place to go. Matthews, Dickies, and Herbert Hoover's Boys Club didn't have the resources to do the scholarships and to provide a wholesome environment for black kids. And the only thing that was left for them were the gangs and the street element and the violence and premature, unnecessary, and excessive death that is occurring among young black males, not only in this city but across the country because of the neglect. I remember when Irene was the alderman, she was saying that Vince Shamel cut the youth programs and the outreach programs for children every year he was in office. And that's what we're feeling now, in that we're building two new centers that might cost $34 million, and then we don't have adequate funds to subsidize kids to go to those facilities or to develop the current facilities like Rose and Booters and Tandy to give these kids some extracurricular activities. And I see that as a great challenge, not only for the African-American community, but for this city as a whole, when we say that we're going to neglect these children. And then you put the school system on top of that, then it's a blueprint for premature death of young black people.
Shouldn't we also add to that assessment, Quincy, that you talk about that there is no other choices for the children, that they get into issues of crime, but not all of them do that. Some of them simply are just out on the street just being kids. I mean, so they're not doing anything except being a target for those that want to do something against them.
Well, I think the good kids on the street, and 90% of them are good kids, they all have the same red flag on them. I think in my opinion, in Jeremy's situation, they was trying to kill his brother. Mm-hmm. They was going to murder his brother, but he was there instead of his brother. They looked alike, and he was with his brother's best friend that was always together.
Well, let's talk about what happened. When did this happen?
This happened the Friday after Christmas.
Okay, so what do you know that happened? What can you tell us about what happened?
Well, when we put the math together, it makes pretty good sense what happened. Jeremy and his brother's friend went to Goody Goody's with some other young men, and they had breakfast. They left breakfast, and Jeremy's brother said, "Bring me a sandwich back." They brought him a sandwich back. When they came back, they gave him the sandwich, and then they went to his friend's mother's home. And then they went to the store to get some cigarettes and around the corner for her. They left her home, and she informed us that less than 3 minutes later, he was knocking on the door saying that they're trying to kill us. So so she let him in the house, and he said, "Did Jeremy make it?" And they called Jeremy's home, and Jeremy had not made it. So then they explained to us what happened. The information that we received was they was going east on Labadie. They made a right turn on Clara. Made a right turn on Labadie, going east on Labadie. As they was approaching Labadie, they saw a white car and a police car coming southbound on Clara, which is a one-way street going north. And so they made a right turn on Labadie. They was going down Labadie. The white car came around the side and started shooting at them, stampeded the kids. And they made, and they sped up, tried to get out of the way. They went around Belt, went up Greer. The police car that was behind the white car was sitting in the middle of the street. They baited a couple of cars sitting on the corner, went up on the sidewalk, came off the sidewalk. The police car cut them off, backed around in front of them, forced them into the tree. Jeremy, the driver, got out and ran. The bag came out on the driver's side, hit Jeremy.
Passenger side,
yeah. Hit Jeremy. And when he got out of the truck, what we can discover is that he was dazed. So he was trying to get his equilibrium, and he was trying to run. He got on the hill, and he fell down.
And Irene, you also talked to the witnesses, many of the witnesses in this. What did they tell you about what they saw, adding to what Quincy's already said?
Basically, after Jeremy got out of the car, they said, appearing to be dazed, he ran. He slipped. In fact, when we were out there, I slipped in the same area because it's muddy. And Jeremy was like on fours, you know, his hands down, his feet, not, you know, kind of down on his knees because he had failed, you know, maybe trying to get his balance to get back up. So the police officer approached saying, "Freeze, MF, freeze." And so Jeremy went eagle. I mean, he went flat with his hands out, legs down. And the police fired on him 5 times in his back. He
will be back to continue this conversation. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Mid Rivers Mall Drive. Look for an accident. Left lane's block drive. That's just before the Mid Rivers Mall exit. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit through Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. It is slow northbound 55 at Butler Hill all the way in the 250-270 exchange. Look for some delays there. Northbound Route 3, that approach onto the Poplar Street Bridge is starting to stack up this hour. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street and the PSB. Look for some delays there. Westbound 270 at 367 West Florissant. You've got some traffic going on out there. Northbound 270 at Grabway and Big Bend is slow on either side of the 44 exchange. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44, expect some delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, and then again from Spady through McKnight, look for some delays as well. And Dunn Road at Graham, look for an accident. It's blocking the intersection right now. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your WGNU weather. Blustery, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day. Chance of sprinkles, even flurry this morning without near steady temps in the mid-30s. For this evening, colder, mostly clear with a low in the upper 20s. Wednesday, mostly clear, sunny with a high around 40. And then Thursday, partly sunny, mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 39 degrees. The wind chill makes it feel like it's about 32. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the host of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move, whether the engineer wanted a bite to eat, he left the monkey sitting.
Taking off my shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues, down into the ocean, current takes hold, words already been spoken, tales already been told, hearts already been broken.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour we're talking about the murder of Jeremy. And the funeral today for Jeremy is at the First Freewell Missionary Baptist Church. It's at the corner of Labadee and Clara. The visitation is at 11. The funeral is at 12 p.m. And again, that's the First Freewell Missionary Baptist Church at the corner of Labadee and Clara. The visitation starts at 11, and the funeral is at 12. And Irene, you were you talked to a number of the witnesses. You saw the body. You had a chance to go and visit the scene. Talk to us. You were talking to us about what was told to you by the witnesses of what transpired.
As I was saying before we went to the break, Jeremy had spread eagle after the police officer said, freeze, MF, freeze. The officer came up to him, shot him 5 times in the back.
We have a name for this officer?
It's our understanding. We don't know totally, but sources, at least three sources, have told me that the officer's name is Nathaniel Burkamper.
Mm-hmm. A white officer.
Burkamper, mm-hmm. Yes.
A white officer.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's my understanding. And that's what the way the people described him. Mm-hmm. And that he kind of turned his body and dropped something out of his left pocket. They said they could not tell what it was. Then he took his feet. After he moved back, he took his feet and his right foot, I believe, and turned Jeremy over and unloaded several other shots into the frontal part of his body. And when they moved, they said after this, they could see that there was a gun on the ground that had not previously been there until this object was dropped from the officer's pocket.
Let me see if I understand this. First, after Jeremy was laying prostrate like Christ on a cross on the ground, this cop unloaded five shots at him, dropped something. Witnesses couldn't see what it was, but everybody can figure out what it was. He wasn't dropping a lollipop by him. And then the cop kicked him over and unloaded more bullets into this baby's body.
Yes. And then after that, you know, people were hollering and screaming, and some sisters were saying, you know, don't, you know, why are you shooting him? He doesn't have a gun. He surrendered, you know, and they were headed actually across the street, mm-hmm. you know. And the police officer turned and said, this is a crime scene. Get back. But then he had his radio, I guess, on his shoulders, and several witnesses, at least two witnesses, told us that he got on his radio and said, come on, these NIGGs are coming. You know, they're coming.
Wait a minute. After he murdered this little boy, this 15-year-old unarmed child that was trying to live, he then attacked the entire community of African descent by calling them the N-word?
That's right. And people were, you know, our folks were coming from everywhere because they heard all of these shots.
I just got to resonate with that just for a second, Irene and Quincy. This, the fact that he referred to black people, concerned black people that were out here coming out to see what happened to this baby, all of us, he called all of us the N-word instinctively. And he didn't say it, he didn't whisper it, he didn't write it on a note. He put it out over his radio so that every other cop could hear his instinctive description of the community that he is supposed to be serving and protecting. Am I right?
That's correct. I mean, based upon what was reported to us. And then they said one car pulled up. Police car pulled up, threw him in the back.
Threw the cop in the back.
Right, and moved him out, I guess, out of harm's way from the crime.
Harm's way.
Yeah.
Okay, he had just murdered a little boy, but he's in harm's way.
And then the witnesses reported that after that it looked like all of 7 District converged on the area.
Now, just in the two of yours' experience, why would so many cops show up at what has been described by Joe Mokwa as a gang shooting? I mean, I've driven by, I've seen crime scenes where people have been shot, where people that supposedly a gang type of a thing has occurred. All of the cops of the 7th District didn't show up. Why do you suppose so many showed up for this?
The people were very angry. I mean, it was rioting, so-called rioting capacity. People were enraged. It was revolt capacity from people that I talked to. I talked to a young man last night who told me, you know, the people were ready. They were ready to hurt somebody, and particularly the police. I mean, there were older women out there who were crying. You know, one woman, she hasn't been back to her house since this happened. They were literally chronic. Just couldn't believe this. Keep in mind, this is broad daylight.
This wasn't at night.
This was not at night. Jeremy was pronounced dead by the medical examiner's office at 12:09. This was broad daylight. This kid had just finished eating breakfast and goody-goody.
And again, the fact that this, his name is what?
Jeremy.
No, not Jeremy's name. The cop's name. Burkhalt?
Burkamper. Nathaniel
Burkamper. The fact that he referred to us as the N-word over his radio, and again, it speaks to this contempt, doesn't it, Quincy? It speaks to this unrelenting contempt and racism that exists in this police department.
You know, I would have just, you know, I would assume just by virtue of the fact that if this went out and then the chief arrived at the scene, I think this is what is really, really hurtful to me. The chief arrives at the scene after hearing this go out over the radio.
Hearing us being called the N-word.
Yeah, and then turn around and say that this was justifiable homicide.
Dang.
Without even investigating
Dang.
What happened. And I think once the chief made that decision, and I think this is what everybody needs to understand, once he's the top police officer in the city, say this is justifiable homicide, then that means internal affairs and every other part or section of the police department would have to be governed by that edict. So by doing that, he automatically exonerates, as he's always have done, like when the police shot the person that was still in his gut, he said it was justifiable. So that seems to be a
that's
way.
That's the contempt and the rage that this police department has.
And it's not. I'm saying it goes all the way to the chief as well.
And I think the other insensitive thing that was reported to us by the grandmother of Jeremy, you know, she's talking to Mokwa at the scene. I mean, she said she had kissed her grandbaby. His body was still warm. And she asked Mocha, why do your police officer shoot him like that, murder him like that? You know, he didn't have a gun, you know. And he said, my officers are trained to kill.
And again, that is so chilling. That is such a chilling, chilling, violent, chilling, siege mentality, chilling hate. A hate statement that you could, and also it's also you're removed from humanity that you can look at a grieving grandmother kissing her baby goodbye, and the only thing that comes to your mind is that yeah, we killed him,
and
we're supposed to.
And then he turned around and said, now you can go out on and have some more T-shirts made. And
there was another officer that said that.
Wait a minute. Say again. What did the cop say?
You can go and have some more T-shirts made. You know how they do the T-shirts for the kids that'll kill.
Said that to the grandmother.
No, he said that to the kids, the young people.
So
and then one other white shirt, as the kids call them, one other white shirt says, "I would have shot him more than that."
Damn.
Now, according to the examination that we were privy to, and we examined the body as it came from the morgue.
You and Quincy.
Yes. And a doctor and a pathologist. It appears that the officer unloaded his clip into Jeremy. So what this white shirt is saying, I would have loaded up again and shot him some more.
And none of them were there at the scene.
No.
So they don't know what happened.
No.
But the instinct of these cops is to say, irrespective of anything, irrespective of what the facts are here, oh, there aren't enough bullets for me to be able to put into to black children. There aren't enough. I don't have enough. There aren't enough bullets in the world for me to be able to unload into a black child. I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
This is total dehumanization of our people. And particularly young black males.
And that weed and seed program, I think we need to look at it more closely with this enhancing aggressive policing that's now occurring in that 22nd ward.
Some people don't know what weed and seed is, Quincy. You might want to.
Well, the weed and seed program is a federal program that comes in and they try to separate the good kids from the bad. But there's no seeding money, so all they do is attack the quote negative elements in the community.
The funeral is at First Free Will Missionary Baptist Church. That's at the corner of Labadee and Clara. Visitation is at 11 o'clock. The funeral is at 12. Folks need to come out and support the family on this. This is, it's raw, racism. It's raw violence directed against people of African descent. It's contempt of the city of St. Louis and its inhabitants, and it is incompetence on the part of Joe Mokwa. You know what? Mokwa needs to go. Mokwa needs to go. When you have officers that are saying the N-word, referring to black people over his radio, when you have white officers telling babies, well, there aren't enough bullets for me to put into their bodies, Mokwa needs to go because that's his fault. We'll be back.
Financial information that can change your life? Then you need to listen to the Pastor's Hour to Empower each and every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock here on WGNU. Hosted by Minister Ernest Greenlee, Reverend James Willoughby, Mr. Robani, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown. It's designed to provide solutions to the needs of the people, the church, pastors, seniors, youth, and the community at large. Remember, your life does have value. All you need to do is unlock the potential. Find out how on the Pastor's Hour to Empower every Tuesday night at 8 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Attention, senior friends. Every day here in St. Louis, there is a child who needs you. Your warmth, your hugs, your unselfish inspiration. Answer that need by becoming a foster grandparent. Call Cartner Ritter Senior Services at 918-2297. If you are 60 years of age or older, income eligible, and can share just 20 hours a week at a designated site, as a foster grandparent, you are a paid volunteer and receive reimbursement for your transportation. And of course, there is the joy of knowing you have made a difference in the life of a child. Open your arms and your heart wide. A child is there waiting for you. Join us, 918-2297. Cartner Ritter Senior Services at 918-2297.
Hi, it's Kevin
and Sue McCarthy
of the Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
If you have a travel question, we'll try to find the answer for you.
Tell a friend and tune us in 2 to 4 Saturday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Them that's got shall get. Them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We're talking about the shooting, the murder of Jeremy, and the details that led to it. Irene, one of the things that you were saying off the air that and so let me ask you this question. Would it be fair, or is it possible to describe what has happened as a hit? Are there people out there that are saying that it appeared to them that it was a hit by the police?
People are saying things like it was a hit, it was a setup, and that they believe that the intended victim was Jeremy's brother, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. By the police.
By the police.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are saying, and we observed, you know, guys, youngsters that I know from the area, they were like, the police don't bother those water boys. And a water boy is somebody that's out there selling PCP, dope. And as we visited with the family near the area, you know, we witnessed, you know, numerous, countless drug sales, and the police were driving by continuously, and
so
nothing was done.
So what does that mean when you have water boys out there, when you have people that are selling drugs out there? This isn't midnight. This isn't 2 o'clock
broad
in the
daylight.
This is broad daylight. When you have people out there selling drugs like that, and the cops keep driving by, what does that mean?
To me, it means one of two things. It means that either someone is on the take, these people are protected. Or it means that they're moving product that belongs to the police.
Because how could that be? How you can't go out, you can't go in the middle of Clayton and stand in the middle of the street and sell.
Why go to Clayton? Why don't we just go to the 23rd Ward? Do you think that individuals would be able to stand out in the street and, you know, right on the corner, down the street from Francis Slade's house and sling drugs?
Of course not.
You know, and then they'll say, well, oh, when we try to move in, people will say that we are harassing them.
No.
You know, but it's the...
An easy thing. That's an easy thing to stop somebody from selling drugs in the middle of the street. What we're not worried about the harassment of stopping people from selling drugs in the street. We're worried about the murder of people, unarmed children, in front of their grandmama's house or in front of their friends' homes. 1-877-920. Let me get to some of these calls. Steve.
Hello, this is Robert.
Okay, Robert.
I have a legal question. How do you have the family retained a lawyer, number one, and then number two, with respect to the police, is there some problem with sovereign immunity, and how will they be able to get around that to bring a lawsuit against the wrongful death?
Thanks for your call, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve, I'm an attorney, and I have been working with the family, and I can tell you that from speaking with the family's first priority is the prosecution of this officer for murder. That is their number one priority. And the family also, as Alderman Troop is assisting the family, we have already had preliminary discussions with the Justice Department, and we intend to see that federal charges are also brought against this officer. So their number one priority is the prosecution of what we know to be Officer Nathaniel Burkhamper.
Murder first
of this child.
1-877-920-WGNU. And the funeral is at, the visitation is at 11 o'clock today. The funeral is at 12 at First Free Will Missionary Baptist Church at the corner of Labadie and Clara.
And Liz, if I could say something about that and attending the funeral, I would ask that all particularly able-bodied African-American males who believe that they have a connection, particularly with our young brothers, who can talk to young brothers, because the police have said, at least to one of the morticians, that this was a gang killing and that they would be there en masse. And we know that that is a potential provoking situation for these young men who are very bitter about the police murdering, this police murdering Jeremy. So we're asking that the community come out in full support of this family so that this family will have an opportunity to peacefully funeralize their child and bury his body. So, you know, this is near lunchtime. You know, please come out and support this family.
And people also need to understand that the next step in this child was murdered. This child was murdered. You have a police chief that says, we shoot to kill. You have police officers that refer to African people as the N-word over their radio with impunity. We have police officers that are making fun of the murder of this child by saying, well, now y'all can go buy some more T-shirts. We have police officers that are saying, I wish I had it. There aren't enough bullets for me to be able to put into the bodies of these babies. We have all of that going on. There has to be. And then you have a police department saying, you know what? We want other cops from outside of St. Louis to be able to have as many jobs in St. Louis as they want. This is outrageous, and people need to understand that the next step in this is the prosecution of murder by this cop. And also, we need to talk about removal of Joe Mokwa. This is unacceptable. This
absolutely.
Is absolutely
I
unacceptable.
Dare say that if the situation were reversed, and Ron Henderson is the police chief, and an African-American cop, and this is totally fairy tale land here, had murdered a Caucasian person and referred to that
child
and refer to that person, you know, as any disparaging word that you cast on a Caucasian, then he would, I mean, the press, the media, the Post would have been calling for his resignation, particularly in view of the fact of the crime that has existed in our city. We've got some serious problems in the city of St. Louis, and many of the people, you know, many of the people on the street think it just goes straight to the head, that's the problem. The buck stops here. Jeff.
Yes. I just want to respond that yesterday, one of the representatives from the St. Louis Police Board, or St. Louis Police Association, was on TV asking the state to increase the pay to police officers, to bring the pay in line with other communities like Ladue and Chesterfield. I think that's just a travesty in itself, that the day before this kid's funeral, they're asking for more money because they're afraid that they're losing good police officers to neighboring communities like Maryland Heights.
More money for more bullets to put into our babies.
And I think that's just a travesty. Then yesterday, they also had an excerpt on the news about the young man who was accused of shooting the police officer in Kirkwood. They had a story stating that he also conspired to kill the witnesses. In order to address this problem, I think that not just with the police department, but with the educational system, St. Louis needs to be in the highlight across the nation. Because in the USA Today yesterday, with the story about No Child Left Behind, St. Louis, the state of Missouri, was the worst.
And I got to roll, but thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Craig.
Yes, good morning.
Quickly, please.
I wanted to also say something about the St. Louis City Police Officers Association, because they yield so much power, it seems, within that organization.
Okay, quickly, Craig, can you make your point?
Yes, I just think that they have too much influence over what the chief says. I don't think he can be as focused as he should, because he's too concerned about the reaction that they're going to have.
Thanks for your call. You think that's true, Quinn?
That's totally true. The Police Officers Association runs the St. Louis Police Department, not the chief and not the board.
But is Mocha part of it?
Yeah, Mocha is a part of it. Mocha is a part of the problem.
Mocha is the chief, so I don't care about anybody saying the Police Officers Association runs the police department. And the bottom line is Mocha is the chief. He is responsible for the police department, and this lies directly at his feet.
I agree with that.
Darla. Darla.
Yes, good morning.
Quickly, please.
It's believed that it's cop killers out there. Every morning, it's always one person come up dead, and that's what we believe out here. It's just getting one by one because... you know, it's just terrible way the police do. Mm-hmm. And the black folks need to get together and get something going around here in this town, because it's genocide to these young black men.
Thank you, Darla. Genocide.
I think that's a good word.
It's a difficult situation, because unlike some people, I happen not to believe that all police officers are bad. But the good cops are so wedged in between the bad cop, the climate that they are in, the administration, and out here, I mean, we have to admit, there are criminal elements in our community that is terrorizing our community, so we're being terrorized by the criminal element and terrorized by the, as the police officer referred to, the gangster policeman.
Well, you know, gang members do wear blue. The funeral is today. at 12 o'clock. The visitation is at 11 o'clock. First Freewell Missionary Baptist Church, that's at the corner of Labadee and Clara. We're asking everyone to come out and to show some support, and also to let the world know that this is not tolerable. This is not tolerable. It is not tolerable for cops to call African people in a city that is over 50%, some say 60% black folks, to call them the N-word with impunity and immunity, and for a police chief to say that our job is to shoot to kill, and for white-shirted cops to say that I wish I had, there aren't enough bullets, I would have put more bullets into this this innocent baby's dead body, and for cops to make fun of the grief and the sadness and the pain that our community suffers when people are murdered on the street. You need to be at this funeral today. First Freewell Missionary Baptist Church, corner of Labadee and Clare. The funeral is at 12. Visitation is at 11. Charles Quincy Troop, thank you so much. Irene J. Smith, as always, thank you so much for both of you for taking your time this morning. We'll be back in the next hour with our friends from Connect Care. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. One of the most wanted al-Qaeda leaders may be dead, the target of a U.S.-led airstrike earlier today over Somalia. ABC's David Curley has details from the Pentagon.
The military tells ABC News it used an AC-130 gunship for this attack. It's a fearsome weapon capable of firing hundreds of rounds per second. We're told that among those targeted may have been the mastermind of the bombing of the American embassies in Africa back in 1998. His name, Fazul Abdul Muhammad. No word, though, from the military whether any of the al-Qaeda members were actually hit. We do know that several other Islamist fighters were killed. David Curley, ABC News, the Pentagon.
Congressional Democrats are ready to challenge President Bush's plan to send 20,000 more U.S. soldiers to Iraq even before the president makes it official. He's expected to do so in a speech tomorrow night to the nation. Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy says his party will try to block the billions needed for the troop surge. Parts of Malibu, California look like a war zone this morning. A rapidly moving wildfire roared through the affluent coastal community yesterday. At least four multi-million dollar seaside mansions were destroyed. Well, some wondered if the University of Florida really should have been invited to play in the BCS National Championship game. There shouldn't be too many questions today. The Gators beat top-ranked Ohio State 41-14. Here's ABC's Todd Ames.
By halftime, the question was asked, who really is the Heisman Trophy winner? Buckeye quarterback Troy Smith struggled, completing only four passes. He was picked off and fumbled, while Gators quarterback Chris Leak had his opponent off balance and marched his team downfield, scoring four touchdowns, opening up a big lead that was never relinquished.
This is what you work for. It's very humbling at the same time. I mean, doing all the right things, you know, eventually your time's going to come.
Leak's time came last night when he was named Most Outstanding Offensive Player. At the BCS Championship, Todd Ant, ABC News, Glendale, Arizona.
Consumer Electronics Show gets a little competition today. Macworld Expo begins in San Francisco. This is ABC News.
I'm Mark Goldston, Chairman and CEO of Net Zero. We started Net Zero 8 years ago to provide the best access at the best price. The Internet's changed a lot since then, and Net Zero's changed with it. We added Norton antivirus, pop-up blockers, and the fastest surfing available over dial-up. And it all downloads in just 2 minutes. We pride ourselves in providing quality Internet access with prices starting at $9.95 a month. Plus, if you're not satisfied within the first 30 days, we'll give you your money back. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com.
Today, many advances in technology have benefited the field of criminal justice, and new jobs are emerging. How can you get involved? The ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue various career opportunities involving corrections, workplace security, and private investigations. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 800-ITT-3169. That's 800-ITT-3169. Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
They had State Farm Insurance before Hurricane Katrina, and they say the company was hardly a good neighbor after they lost their homes. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
For thousands along the Gulf Coast, Hurricane Katrina stripped them of everything.
What a sight. This is just devastating.
Many turned to the insurance company that calls itself a good neighbor, State Farm. And many claim they received little or nothing from their State Farm homeowner policies. The Associated Press reports the insurance company, which says it already paid out more than $1 billion in Katrina claims, is now negotiating a multi-million-dollar deal to settle the Mississippi lawsuits. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Well, this isn't the first time we've heard something like this over the past few weeks. And parents, you might want to re-examine how you're disciplining your kids. A third of the moms and dads questioned by researchers at Vanderbilt University say what they're doing now isn't working. In fact, many say that they revert to what their parents did, whether that worked or not. I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, police are searching for a man involved in a bank robbery in Webster Groves. Authorities say two men robbed the U.S. Bank on Gravois yesterday morning. Police spotted the getaway vehicle and chased the suspects to a Webster Groves neighborhood. One man jumped out of the moving vehicle and was taken into custody. Police are still looking for the second suspect. A man has been charged in a St. Charles home invasion. 37-year-old Dana Couch was already in custody on suspicion of other crimes and is now charged in the December home invasion and assault. Couch is now facing charges of assault, armed criminal action, and robbery. St. Charles police say they are pursuing charges against Couch in several other cases as well. Case hearings continue in Ameren UE's rate hike request. The Missouri Public Service Commission will hold a hearing at 5:30 this evening at the Wentzville School District Central Office Boardroom. Several other hearings are scheduled around the state later this month. Finally this hour, two former Cardinals are waiting to find out if they'll be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Four-time home run champion Mark McGwire and former career save leader Lee Smith are both on the ballot, along with 30 other candidates. The announcement of the voting results will take place this afternoon. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and Mid Rivers Mall. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. It's been cleared before Mid Rivers Drive, but there are a lot of delays out there. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. Look for slowdowns as well as eastbound 141 all the way through Mason Road. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit into Laclede's Landing. Look for some delays. Eastbound 44 at Stocker Park and 270. You've got slow traffic as you hit those exit lanes. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 255, 270 interchange. Look for some delays. Route 3 northbound onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is slow. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect some delays. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for delays. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Big Bend. There's some delays there as well. Northbound 55 at Arsenal through 44, you can expect slow traffic. And westbound or northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, look for slow traffic as you exit on those exit 70 lanes. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather. This hour's weather looks like this. Blustery, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny. Chance of sprinkles and even or flurries today. This morning, however, the steady temps will be in the mid-60s, moving on to tonight, mostly clear, colder with a low in the upper 20s, moving into Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-40s, and Thursday, partly sunny, mostly cloudy throughout the day, with a high expected around 50. Currently, we have 38 degrees, wind chill makes it feel like it's 30. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and this morning, this hour, we're going to be having a conversation with our friends from Connect Care. And I want to start with Rosetta Keaton. Rosetta, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
This is a good day. I'm real well today.
Very good. Got your coffee here. You ready to have this conversation?
Yes, that's probably why it's better. I have this coffee here.
Coffee is a good thing. Now, Rosetta, tell us a little bit about Connect Care.
Liz, Connect Care, as you know, is an organization that has specialty care and urgent care. And those are probably the two major things that we're doing now. Is urgent care, with the urgent care opening at 8 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock in the evening, Monday through Friday, and 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. And the specialty care, of course, entails all the different specialties that are affecting people other than primary care, that a primary care doctor would not necessarily want to deal with. They send you to the specialties. And so there's a process for getting into the specialty clinics by the primary care doctor referring to the utilization management and so forth. And they know how to do that very, very well. Mm-hmm. The other exciting thing that is happening at Connect Care is the forthcoming endoscopy suite. And we're very excited about this endoscopy suite because it's a state-of-the-art suite. And it should be opening probably at the end of this month or at the end or at the beginning of February, which means that we at Connect Care will be able to do a lot of colonoscopies and GI series and so forth. I wish I was a GI doctor, I could tell you all that stuff. But I do know those things will happen at Connect Care, and we won't have to send out, and that's exciting.
And the number at Connect Care?
The number at Connect Care is 361-CARE.
361-CARE. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Dr. Ali, and we're going to be talking about arthritis. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to continue our conversation with our friends from Connect Care. Stay with me.
America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
You wanna know what's gonna get in me? Just a little touch of star quality. And if that the right goes too far, it's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you. And if I need a moment's rest, give your love a love.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour we're having a conversation with our friends from Connect Care. And the topic this morning is arthritis. And the expert in the studio this morning is Dr. Zarmina Ali. Dr. Ali, good morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. Now, I guess let's just start with arthritis 101. What is arthritis?
Arthritis is basically affecting the joints in various areas of the body. There are several types of arthritis, but the main problem is it can cause pain and limitation in motion and mobility and disability, which is one of the leading causes of disability in the U.S. after heart disease. There are several forms of arthritis. Osteoarthritis is degenerative arthritis in which the cartilage which lines joints disintegrates, and usually it happens with aging or some kind of trauma to a joint, and it causes the bone to rub on bone, which causes pain, and that can lead to disability. Other forms of arthritis include rheumatoid arthritis, in which the body's own immune system attacks the joint lining and can cause joint deformity and disability. There's gout, in which there is crystal deposition inside the joints because of an abnormality in joint body's metabolism.
Gout is a form of arthritis?
It is a form of arthritis,
really?
Because crystals, because uric acid normally is excreted in the urine, and in some people, usually men, there is a predisposition to getting a accumulation of uric acid, and this can deposit in joints over time, usually small joints, big toe. People complain of severe pain and swelling in the big toe area. They can't tolerate any sheets. It turns red, discolors, extremely painful. and that is a form of arthritis.
Now, they used to say that gout was like a rich man's disease. Is it that type of, is it because of the type of rich foods, or is it diet? How do we...
There is some evidence that it is related to diet, usually foods that are rich in purines, which is a certain type of a protein, red meats, legumes, if you consumed in high quantities, mm-hmm. can cause a predisposition. But usually it's just the body's inability to process uric acid mm-hmm. that leads to its accumulation inside the joints and various tissues inside the body.
As you're describing these forms of arthritis, I'm thinking, should people look at arthritis as part of the natural maturation process? Like, should you expect to get this, or are there things that you can do to prevent arthritis from setting in?
Great question. It's... a lot of people above the age of 60 do have arthritis, but it does not mean that everybody universally will get it. I mean, like I said, you know, there are various types. The most common is osteoarthritis or degenerative arthritis. The way really to prevent the onset of at least degenerative arthritis would be to do good, useful activities. Weight reduction is one, because hips, knees, ankles tend to be more affected with osteoarthritis or degenerative arthritis. Exercise, any type of stretching exercise such as yoga or tai chi improves the ability of joints to sustain impact, and it protects the joints. Strengthening type of exercises, aerobic exercises, water therapy, all of these are good things to do for your body to prevent the early onset of arthritis that we are seeing nowadays, and to prevent its disability, because you need the motion when you do your daily activities, and if you exercise, you'll feel good and your joints will also be protected.
Are there some dietary issues that you should focus on if you are trying to make certain that there's not an early onset of arthritis?
There is no way to prevent it mm-hmm. with diet, but just good healthy diet will keep your weight down mm-hmm. and help prevent the onset of arthritis. Everybody should take some form of calcium and vitamin D supplement to strengthen bones, multivitamins to improve muscle function and bone function, and just general well-being. There are some herbal supplements that are available. The most famous one nowadays is the glucosamine chondroitin complex. Mm-hmm. Really, different studies have shown different aspects of this medication to be useful, but it does help especially with pain in the knee in degenerative arthritis. And it may actually retard the progression of osteoarthritis, but it's not very clear at this time. And we're still in it in the early period.
And also, how about just plain old lubrication? Should we just make certain that we keep our bodies hydrated? Does that help?
It's a component. It doesn't hurt. It's part of the cartilage that mm-hmm. lines the joint lining. But again, you know, there's no way of us being able to protect the cartilage from eventual disintegration. Mm-hmm. So it does happen over time. It's just that we need to keep the muscles strong and keep moving and keep our weight down.
And with respect to the age piece of it, I've read different articles where it said over 50 or over 60. Do children get arthritis?
Children do get arthritis. There are at least, I believe, around 300,000 children in the U.S. who are affected with arthritis. They get a kind of rheumatoid arthritis that is seen in children known as juvenile arthritis, in which the body's immune system attacks the joints and can cause inflammation and disability. It can happen in as young as 1 or 2 year old children, and it can be particularly devastating for the parents to watch. Children can also get hit with systemic lupus erythematosus, in which not only the joints can be affected, but also various internal organs in the body. Children can also get different types of inflammatory arthritis known as ankylosing spondylitis, which can affect the spine. It can hit the kids in their teenage years, in which they can get arthritis. Usually, though, we don't see the osteoarthritis or the degenerative arthritis that we see in old age in children.
So let's talk about some of the symptoms, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the symptoms for the osteo.
Usually pain, mm-hmm. Stiffness in a joint, activity making the pain worse, noticing swelling or deformity in a joint. Usually the weight-bearing joints are affected, like the knee or the hip or the ankle, but also the hands can be affected, in which people can see knobbly fingers, and they would complain of limitation in grip, climbing up and down stairs. Getting into a bath can be pretty difficult. In rheumatoid arthritis, patients are usually younger. They would complain of a lot of stiffness and say that warm water or activities actually help their joints rather than harm them. And usually in rheumatoid arthritis, the hands and the feet, the small joints, like in the fingers and toes, are mainly affected. There is obvious disability, and just general feelings of anxiety and depression can also set in because of the pain. And
so there's a lot of pain involved in this.
There is usually a lot of pain involved mm-hmm. in this. That's the main problem that people present with into the clinic.
So when we talk about, talk about the symptoms, we talked about the types, can we talk about some of the treatments for arthritis?
Usually, unfortunately, we don't have a cure for degenerative arthritis or osteoarthritis. There are many treatments that are available. It really has to be an approach in which we involve the entire patient. So we need to treat the pain. Usually we use analgesics or anti-inflammatories known as non-steroidals, part of the ibuprofen, naproxen family that is also available over the counter. And there are many different forms that are available. So we usually, it's by trial and error, we can figure out what's going to help with the arthritis. Usually that helps with pain. Acetaminophen or Tylenol is another excellent pain reliever for arthritis. Then there are, especially for the large joints, such as the knees or the shoulders, which can get affected with degenerative arthritis, we can sometimes choose to inject corticosteroids or steroids into the joint to kind of help lubricate and decrease the inflammation in the joints. Also available for injections directly into the joints are fluids that normally reside in the joints but are made artificially outside, and they're injected, known as Hyalgan or Synvisc. They may provide some relief. This relief can last anywhere from about 3 to 6 months. Some people really do not have a response. And then eventually there might be the need for surgery if the joint is terribly destroyed.
If we have like bone on bone.
Bone on bone, severe pain, loss of mobility, disability, unable to work, unable to do activities that would normally institute a daily living, then they may need surgery.
And when we talk about arthritis and who it affects, is there a gender distinction here? Do men get it more than women, or?
Not really. With degenerative arthritis, it's pretty much equal in women and men. In rheumatoid arthritis, it's more women. In gout, it's more men. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the different types of arthritis that are present.
And in terms of race, do we find that there are any particular ethnic groups that are impacted more so than other ethnic groups?
Unfortunately, not. No.
Okay.
I mean, it's a disease that we're pretty much seeing across the board with all kinds of races.
And people can come to Connect Care and talk to doctors about this?
Oh, yes. I'm there as one of the arthritis specialists. Mm-hmm. So, sure, you guys can come and talk to me. Door's always open.
And, Rosetta, how do people become part of Connect Care?
Through their primary care physician.
Okay.
You have to tell your primary care physician when you need a specialist that you want to go to St. Louis Connect Care. And, of course, we have some of the best specialists
absolutely
in the world working at St. Louis Connect Care.
We're talking to one right now, Dr. Zarmina Ali.
Thank you.
Will be back. Stay
Thank
with
you.
Us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 55 at Imperial Main on Route M. Look for the ramp closed due to an accident that's on the ramp to Highway M. Arch is requested at the scene as we speak, so we'll keep you up to date on that. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Big Bend has got slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 at K and Mid Rivers, look for that accident has been cleared, but expect delays. Page at Chutes, look for an accident there. Westbound 40 from McCausland through Hanley, look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge from the Gravel Pit in the landing, look for that traffic to be easing. Northbound Route 3, that ramp is looking good under the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 270 at 367 and West Florissant is on the move. And northbound 270 at 44 all the way into Big Bend, look for some delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at this hour's weather. Blustery, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day. Chance of sprinkles and flurries even this morning with a hot, near steady temps in the mid-30s. For this evening, colder, mostly clear with a low in the upper 20s. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-40s. And Thursday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day, a high around 50. Currently, we have 38 degrees. Wind chill makes it feel like it's 31. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Time you let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour we're having a conversation with our friends from Connect Care, and in the next hour we will be having a discussion. The United for Fair Economy has produced a report, State of the Dream, 2007, Voting Blue and Staying in the Red. What did Martin Luther King do during the first 100 hours of this Democratic majority in the House and the Senate? That, well, the United for Fair Economy has released a report to talk about that, and we will be chatting with them about the State of the Dream 2007, Voting Blue and Staying in the Red. I also want to take this time to give a heads up to folks, anybody that wants to go up to Jefferson City for a conversation with Kent King or for a conversation and to make a statement about the state takeover, there will be a bus leaving on the 11th at 2710 Hampton. That's Local 420. That will be on the 11th at 6:15 a.m., 2710 Hampton. You need to get on the bus there and go on up to Jefferson City to have a conversation about that very, very, very important issue. And like I said, we are talking with our friends here from ConnectCare. I'm talking to Dr. Zarmina Ali, and we're talking specifically about arthritis. But before we get any further with that, along with that conversation, Dr. Ali, can you tell folks some of the specialty clinics that they can take advantage of by coming to ConnectCare? What do you all have there?
At ConnectCare, we have various subspecialties, gastroenterology, cardiology for the heart, pulmonary for the lungs, endocrinology, hormones, thyroid, diabetes, taking care of over there. We have a general surgery clinic, a urology clinic, gynecology clinic, subspecialty clinic, dermatology for the skin. I believe that's about it. We don't have a hematologist yet.
And
you should probably also say you have a rheumatologist.
Oh, yes, of course.
That's right. That's right. And Rosetta, in terms of pain, if I have health care, if I already have health care, can I come? If I don't have health care, if I don't have any kind of insurance, can I come?
Of course you can. The important thing to know is that you just don't walk into ConnectCare to see a specialist, as we all know with most of us. You have to have been referred basically to see one of our specialists. But we have a registration department, and we look at everybody's ability to pay, as always, at ConnectCare. We are a safety net, still safety net organization, and we do want to make sure that if people need specialty care, that they can come to ConnectCare and get it. Of course, we accept every insurance in the world.
And one of the things that I think that is such a jewel that more people need to know about is the Urgent Center. I think that the Urgent Center is a wonderful, wonderful concept, and it certainly is wonderfully executed at ConnectCare. Describe for us, define for us what an Urgent Care Center is.
Well, I always say, in regards to the Urgent Care Center, if you have some type of problem or issue that you would like to see a physician with, and you're unable to get to a physician, of course you can always come to ConnectCare. If you feel like it's an emergency or a life-threatening issue, you should certainly go to an emergency room. We are not an emergency room, and as a matter of fact, we will call 911 and get an ambulance for you, mm-hmm. if necessary, to take you to the emergency room.
So if you're uncertain, it's a triage type of a thing. You can go in and they will say, you know what, this is an emergency, we'll help you get to where you need to.
Well, nobody would be turned away ever. Of course,
right.
we would make sure that persons are stabilized and whatever before we sent them. But, you know, cut out the middleman. If you feel like you have an emergency, go to the emergency room. The other thing that I would suggest, if you're not sure of what's going on with you, you can always call 879-6300. That's the urgent care telephone line.
A little slower, please.
879-6300.
Okay.
And they will talk to you, and they will tell you where they think you should go. You'll get a nurse or a professional person there who can give you some help.
And one of the things about having this job is that I really enjoy is when you have people that are part of the advertising family of it that you really, really know to do really, really wonderful work. And I can give a personal testimony as to how wonderful the Urgent Care Center and how wonderful Dr. Ali is, because I had to go to the Urgent Care Center not too long ago for an ear issue. And the way that I was treated when I first came in to register, the way that I was talked to when I got the intake taken from me, and also the time that I spent having to get into the Urgent Care Center, and then what happened when I got in and had to talk and got to talk to Dr. Ali and the nurses at the Urgent Care Center. You all are just wonderful, and it's wonderful, wonderful place to go, because sometimes you can't get to your doctor.
That's right.
And your doctor's not available, and you've got to have these issues done. And I'm not going to go sit in the emergency room, because they would never get to me in the emergency room for what I had to deal
with. And you know,
with.
The other thing is, the Urgent Care Center is cheaper than the emergency room.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And it's faster than the emergency room, because you know, when you go to an emergency room, they're going to triage you there, and every time somebody comes in that's a little bit worse than you are, they have to see those people.
And they should.
It kind of pushes you back. And it's very difficult for someone who is not feeling well to understand that, why do they keep pushing me back? But they have to, because if somebody comes in that looks like they're a little better than you are, or walking well, they may be having something that's really tragic and diminishing. And you have to wait. At the Urgent Care Center, that's where you don't have to wait.
You don't.
Because it's what it's there for.
It's amazing. It was amazing just to watch, and just, first of all, to see so many people taking advantage of the Urgent Care Center, and then just watching people just move right through the process. It was a wonderful thing. It really was. And I want to thank you, Dr. Ali. You did such
you.
A wonderful, wonderful thing. Made my life a whole lot better. A whole lot better. Let me get to a caller or two. Del, good morning.
I go to the Urgent Center. I didn't even know that's what it was called. But I was in Walgreens shopping and got chest pains, and the pharmacist suggested that I go there. It was absolutely wonderful. I could not believe the service I got. I was fumbling through my purse trying to find my insurance card, and the intake person said, ma'am, that's okay. They're calling your name. We'll take care of it after you're done.
Now, how often does that happen?
Okay. Never. It has never, ever, ever happened to me. And then after the doctor diagnosed me, she came in and talked to me for 47 minutes.
You must have been counting, because that's 47 minutes.
Outstanding. Just outstanding. So I just wanted to share with you the experience that I had, and I recommend it to anyone. And my bill was unbelievably low. I walked down there from my mom's house to pay it. I was so excited. I never had even a doctor's bill for that amount of money.
Wow. Del, thank you so much for sharing that.
You're quite welcome.
1-877-920-WGENIUS. So how does that make you feel when you hear those
stories?
I'm
grinning from ear to ear. I appreciate it. That's wonderful.
And the address of the Urgent Care Center and Connect Care, so that people know where to go.
5535 Delmore, the west end of the building closest to Clara. It's where the emergency room used to be.
Urgent Care Center, or
Smiley
Urgent Care Center.
Center.
Not urgency, but Urgent Care Center. Will, you have a question.
Yes, I have a question. The question was, can you detect arthritis through x-rays?
Okay, thanks.
The second question was, the doctor mentioned something about doing exercise. If you have arthritis in your arm, can you still do exercise with that arm, or would it injure the arm more?
Good questions. The first one, yes, arthritis can be diagnosed in a joint. There have to be symptoms in the joint, like you're stiff in the joint, or you've noticed swelling or pain in the joint. And basically, the degenerative arthritis sometimes cannot be detected at a very early stage, but certainly if the symptoms have been going on over time, you can actually see the loss in the cartilage that is seen on an x-ray as a loss in joint space with bone rubbing on bone. So x-rays are useful. The technology is improving, especially for rheumatoid arthritis and the other types of arthritis related to inflammation, in which we can use ultrasound technique or even an MRI to actually detect the type of arthritis and the degree of damage in a joint using these imaging techniques. As relating to your second question, it is important that even if there is arthritis, especially in a shoulder joint, we tend to favor and not move it as much. It is important to get moving in that joint. The first type of exercise that should be done for the shoulder are really stretching or flexibility exercises. Tai Chi, Qigong, or yoga are excellent kind of exercises to do to try and improve flexibility.
What about Pilates?
Pilates is also good. It may not have as much in terms of shoulder range mm-hmm. of motion, mm-hmm. but it is an excellent technique that is used to improve flexibility and protect joints.
And that's going to have to be the last word. Dr. Ali, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
And Rosetta Keaton, as always, thank you so much.
My
You're wonderful.
My pleasure, and thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I will be back. Stay with me.
Of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's no experience more magical than falling in love with that one person in the world that sees you, accepts you, and loves you passionately for who you really are.
He loves me for me.
She sees me more for who I really am.
Being seen and loved for who I am is incredible.
eHarmony helped me find the love of my life.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your personality profile free. Let's get started finding your soulmate today. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Huh. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. And again, I want to thank our guests from our friends at Connect Care, Rosetta Keaton and Dr. Zarmina Ali. And Dr. Ali wants you to know also, if you have any other questions about arthritis, you can always go to the Arthritis Foundation website. They have lots of good information there, lots of tips there, too, for folks that are dealing with arthritis. Again, thank you very much. And in the next hour, I do want to give you a heads up. It's already almost 9 o'clock. We're going to be talking to the writers of a report, writers from United for Fair Economy, UFE. They've just, in fact, the report was released at 1 o'clock this morning. State of the Dream 2007, voting blue and yet staying in the red. We're going to talk about the first 100 hours of the Democrat majority in the United States House and Senate. What would Martin Luther King do in the first 100 hours? What should we be focusing on? What should we be talking about? What should we know as we make our decisions about people's lives? We're going to be talking about the State of the Dream 2007, voting blue and yet staying in the red, from United for a Fair Economy. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Another heads up, the funeral for Jeremy, the baby that was murdered by the police. It will take place today at 12 o'clock. Visitation is at 11. The church, First Freewell Missionary Baptist Church, at the corner of Labadee and Clara. That's today at 12 o'clock, the funeral. Visitation is at 11. First Freewell Missionary Baptist Church, the corner of Labadee and Clara. It's an extraordinary story. It's an extraordinary story that we have. We live in such a time and such a place that there, the atmosphere in the city of St. Louis, and that's why I fight so hard on this show, and why you fight so hard. Many of you fight so hard. Because we recognize small affronts, medium-sized affronts, and then the whoppers out here. This baby was murdered. There's no question about this. This baby was murdered by the police. How do we know that? Well, we have witnesses that saw the child shot in the back five times while laying like Christ on a cross on the ground. How do we know that? Because we have two witnesses that saw the body with a medical pathologist specialist. And they saw that the shots were localized. Five shots. You know where the shots were? Right in where the heart is. On the side of the body, right where the heart is. We also saw that there were shots close range to the head. Now, how'd you get close range to the head? We know that we had a cop that said that called out over his radio, the ends are getting closer, calling African people the N-word over his radio. Over his radio. We have a chief of police who tells a grieving grandmother, why did you put all of these bullets in my baby? Why did you kill my baby? Our officers are trained to kill. We have a white shirt. That means a cop with higher up, not just a regular blue-shirted officer on the beat. Tell members of this family, well, I would have shot more. I would have put more bullets in it if it had been me. I guess that's how you got your promotion. And consider this, folks. All of the bullets of that cop's clip were put into that baby. So the other cop, the white shirt who said, I would have put more bullets, means that he would have taken out his gun, refilled it, and fired till he got tired. This is a monstrous act. It's an act of contempt. It's an act of rage. It's an act of hate. It's an act of fury, and it's an act of lawlessness based solely upon this child's color. He said, these ends are coming up here. This is after he murdered this baby. He said that over his radio. He called African people. He called me. He called you. The N-word.
What kind of environment, what kind of environment exists in the police department under Joe Mokwa that this guy, this cop, felt that comfortable instinctively referring to us out our names in the most racist, foul, and murderous terms over his radio? What kind of atmosphere do you think that Mokwa encourages and can participates in and continues? What do you think? It's a racist environment designed to execute African people. What else can it be? This baby was laying like Christ on a cross on the ground when this cop pumped half his clip into him. He had no gun. He had done nothing wrong. This child was like, what's the word I'm using? I'm thinking of? Like cattle ready for slaughter, this child was forced down. The driver of the car was forced down the streets into the waiting bullets of this murderous cop. They intended to kill those babies. They intended to kill them. This baby, 15 years old. Good baby. A good child. Well, some of you out there may be thinking, oh, there's two sides to every story. Really? What's the other side to this when you have eyewitnesses that are saying, I saw the cop throw something down? Saw him. This didn't take place at midnight. This didn't take place at 2 o'clock in the morning. Behind a building in a dark alley. It was in the middle of the street at noon. It was a beautiful day. The sun was out. And blood was on the ground. This baby was murdered. And the first thing out of Mokwa's mouth is that it was justified. How would you know? Oh, did I mention that the cops came and got the body back from the morgue after they released it to the morgue? Did I tell you that? You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, has the NAACP gotten involved in this?
I hope they don't.
Why not?
Because the NAACP in the city of St. Louis is the same NAACP that defended a radio talk.
Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why?
That's why I was saying that they jumped on that within about 2 or 3 days and straightened that one out. Crump, they said he did it. I don't know when I
straightened what out. Straightened what out? Said that it was okay.
Well, they helped the man and gave him membership to the group.
Mm-hmm. Well, he paid for that.
Well, when I approached the members and mentioned this to them, they said he did it on his own. They had nothing to do with that.
But yet he's still president.
Yes, he is.
Well,
but
then.
I was told to call them and find out, but I figured maybe someone that a member of the NAACP probably would hear me, and maybe they will call and try to see can they get on this.
I hope they stayed out. They're not strong enough to be part of it. If you're not strong enough to keep Harold Crump from hustling up on that issue, you ain't strong enough to do anything else. Stay out of it. Stay
well,
out
Well, they
of
were
it.
Different in the 60s, Liz. You know that, of course. You was young. I don't know when you was born, but they were much different. They jumped on cases like this, and the next day they were on it.
Mm-hmm. Not no more.
Okay, Liz, you have a good day.
Take care of yourself, Mary. Ross.
Yes, Liz. Case scenario. The cops straight murdered that child.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see for the life of me that, well, I see it. Yes, I can. They murdered that child. They turned him over. You said he was laying quite like Christ on the cross,
mm-hmm.
on his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
and they fired shots at him. It was intentional, and something needs to be done. We're going to work together to try to get Joe Mokwa out of there and some of these rude cops.
That's that. Thanks for your call. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Liz. I just wanted to point out that Mokwa, the same day that this shooting happened, was talking to the newspapers about a new tactical unit where he's targeting neighborhoods. And he said they have his personal okay to take the gloves off.
That means to murder our babies.
And, you know, this is the immediate result of that kind of talk and that kind of policy. I hope that the Board of Aldermen will hold some hearings on this tactical unit and just what's going on with policy in the police department.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, John.
Yeah, take care.
1-877-920-WGNU. In the next hour, we will be talking with the folks from United for a Fair Economy. They've written a report. They just released it at 1 o'clock this morning. State of the Dream 2007, Voting Blue, Staying in the Red. It's a 40-something page report on what would Martin Luther King do in the first 100 hours of a Democratic majority in the year 2007 compared to what the Democrats are doing. You don't want to miss this discussion. Stay with me.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you say?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. He hasn't made it official yet. The speech is tomorrow night, but the rumblings out of Washington are getting louder. President Bush expected to announce a major troop surge in Iraq, 20,000 more service members, and he might have to fight more than just the Democrats to get it. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
President Bush has begun to brief members of Congress on Iraq's strategy in the White House driveway. Republican Senator Gordon Smith emerged fearing a surge won't work.
It is my earnest hope that for the sake of our country and our troops, that I am wrong and the president is right.
The White House expects a debate on whether Congress will fund all the war requests President Bush will make. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy is planning to draft legislation to block the billions of dollars needed for more troops. Others don't want any service members who haven't been home at least a year to be redeployed. U.S. aircraft may have taken out a major player in Al-Qaeda during airstrikes over Somalia.
Among those targeted may have been the Al-Qaeda mastermind of the bombings of the American embassies in Africa back in 1998. His name, Fazul Abdul Muhammad. He is one of a number of suspected jihadists and Al-Qaeda operatives believed to have been flushed out of Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, in recent fighting with Somalia's neighbor, Ethiopia.
ABC's David Curley at the Pentagon. The Democrats' 100 hours of reform is underway. The first bill up for debate would enact most remaining recommendations of the 9/11 Commission, including the screening of all cargo containers that are shipped to the U.S. A quickly moving wildfire destroyed about four multi-million dollar seaside mansions in Malibu, California. This woman was pet sitting for a family on vacation who lived in one of the homes that burned to the ground.
We're just trying not to let them come home to this, because it's, you know, it's bad enough to lose your house, but to lose your pets is just unheard of.
ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 10 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is ahead a fraction. This is ABC News.
I'm Mark Goldston, Chairman and CEO of Net Zero. We started Net Zero 8 years ago to provide the best access at the best price. The Internet's changed a lot since then, and Net Zero's changed with it. We added Norton antivirus, pop-up blockers, and the fastest surfing available over dial-up, and it all downloads in just 2 minutes. We pride ourselves in providing quality Internet access with prices starting at $9.95 a month. Plus, if you're not satisfied within the first 30 days, we'll give you your money back. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com.
Today, many advances in technology have benefited the field of criminal justice, and new jobs are emerging. How can you get involved? The ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue various career opportunities involving corrections, workplace security, and private investigations. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 800-ITT-3169. That's 800-ITT-3169. Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
The countdown to the Academy Awards continues with Queen Latifah holding court. Here's ABC's Dave Alpert.
The Queen is ready to rule over the 33rd annual People's Choice Awards.
This is all about the people and their voice and them saying who they think their favorites are. And it's all kinds of different categories. It's not just film. It's film, it's TV, it's music. So it kind of crosses the genres, which makes it a lot more fun.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, leads the nominations, including three for Johnny Depp.
I love those moments. I like to wave at them as they pass by.
And this will be the first public appearance for Cameron Diaz since her reported split from Justin Timberlake. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Los Angeles.
If you have over $100 million to spare, you can buy your very own country. Sealand, the world's smallest nation, is for sale. It's actually just a fort sitting on a pair of concrete towers off the coast of England, but it fought off attempts by the British, Germans, and Dutch to take it over. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, East St. Louis police are investigating an incident that left a three-week-old child injured. Yvette Hart, the infant's grandmother, said that some younger relatives were looking after D'Angelo Johnson at a family gathering. She said the kids got upset when the baby wouldn't take a bottle and started hitting the baby with the bottle. Family members rushed the child to Touchette Regional Hospital. D'Angelo is now being treated at Cardinal Gwenin Children's Hospital. Detectives are still working the case, and the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services is also investigating. The controversy continues with the mayor of Overland. Residents had filed a lawsuit against Mayor Ann Persner after she refused to hold council meetings in a room big enough to accommodate the large crowds that the meetings draw. Yesterday, a St. Louis County judge issued a permanent injunction ordering that council meetings be held at the Overland Community Center. The judge fined Mayor Persner $1 and ordered the city to pay the residents' $16,000 legal bill. The American Red Cross is critically low on several blood types. The Missouri-Illinois Blood Services region is calling for donors of B-negative, O-negative, and O-positive blood, as well as platelets. To schedule an appointment or find out where to donate, call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. Finally this hour, the Blues will be looking to get back on track when they take on the Blue Jackets in Columbus this evening. The Note are coming off a 3-2 loss to the Predators in Nashville on Saturday, but have won 6 of their last 9 games. The Blues are 1-2 against the Blue Jackets this season, with the only win coming as the result of a shootout. Game time is 6 o'clock. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic looks like this. Southbound 55 between Imperial Main and Route M. There's an accident on ramp to Highway M. Arch has been requested the scene, and the highway has been closed for a few moments. Eastbound 70 at Highway K and Mid Rivers, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for some delays there. Page at Chutes, look for an accident. Northbound 270 at 44 and Big Bend, that traffic starting to ease up this hour. Westbound 5570 from Tudor into the Poplar Street Bridge, still have some delays there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit into the Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 at 8th Street into the PSB is on the move. Westbound 270 at 367 and West Florissant, look for some delays. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill into the 55-270 interchange, look for some delays. And eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason, you've got a slow go there as well. That is the look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather. This hour's weather looks like this. Blustery, mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day. Chance of sprinkles and or flurries early in the morning, near steady temps in the upper 30s. This evening, colder, mostly clear, with a low in the upper 20s. For Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. And Thursday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy as you go through the day with a high expected in the lower 50s. Currently, we have 39 degrees. Wind chill out there makes it feel like it's about 31, 32 degrees, so just bundle up. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Toll free, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. And we're going to have a conversation with the folks from United for Fair Economy. We're going to be talking about in this hour, we're going to be talking about how the new leadership in the U.S. House has an agenda to help low and middle income workers in the first 100 hours. Really? How will it serve people of color? How well will it serve people of color? What are some of the issues that they should be addressing? What are some of the issues that they won't be addressing? And I love the title of this report, State of the Dream 2007, Voting Blue and Yet Staying in the Red. 1-877-920-WGNU. So you don't want to miss this conversation with the folks from United for a Fair Economy in this hour. They will be joining us right after this. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And if you also want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, you can email me. You can also check out the show at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. So if you have missed an hour, you can go get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. And let me do a couple of bookkeeping things before we get to our guest and the topic for this hour. There is a funeral today for a child that was murdered by the police, shot many, many, many times by the police. His funeral is today, and we're asking that everybody attend the funeral at First Freewell Missionary Baptist Church at the corner of Labadee and Clara. The visitation is at 11 o'clock. The funeral will be at 12 o'clock. Baby didn't have to die like that. We need to be there. And that's, again, at 12 o'clock, the funeral, First Freewell Missionary Baptist Church at the corner of Labadee and Clara. Labadee and Clara. There's much excitement, much enthusiasm, much interest in the new Democratic majority. the United States House, the United States Senate. Much excitement. So much excitement that the Democrats have come up with not a 100-day plan, but a 100-hour plan. Things that they're going to do within the first 100 hours of their presence. Ambitious. Exciting. But in the words of Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? We've got to understand and analyze this from a perspective of who this helps. Does this help? And why, if it doesn't, why are we doing it? Well, there's a report that has come out, released by United for a Fair Economy. And the report just released this morning, State of the Dream 2007, voting blue, staying in the red. We have the executive director for United for a Fair Economy, Meishu Liu. She's joining us from Boston to talk about this brand new released report. Meishu, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Very good. Voting blue and yet staying in the red.
That's right. I'm sure that most of your listeners know about that.
I think that you are correct with that. But let's start with why this report this time.
Well, we have for the last 4 years put out a State of the Dream report for Martin Luther King Day, just measuring the progress or lack of progress since his days. We feel like all the eulogies are fine and good, but what really makes a difference is, are we proceeding along the path that he set out on? And we are finding this year, in looking at the Democrats' 100-hour agenda, that while African Americans in particular have voted consistently, not just in a majority, but by huge numbers, the most loyal segment of the Democrats' base, voting at about a 90% Democratic rate since 1968, that you would think that now that the Democrats had a chance to do something for this loyal constituency, that they would. We found that in the 100-hour agenda, though, there's nothing that really closes the racial economic gap as Martin Luther King would have wished.
Well, and let's talk about this racial economic gap. Why is that? Define that, and why is that important to take to assess when we are looking at what the decisions that are being made by this new Congress?
Well, we have been trying to work toward greater equality since the 1960s, or probably since the beginning, but certainly the nation and under Democratic leadership took that turn after the Civil Rights Movement or during the Civil Rights Movement. But today, African Americans still earn only 70 cents on the white person's dollar, and in terms of wealth or assets, they only hold 15 cents of wealth, which means savings, home equity, retirement accounts, and so on, compared to a dollar of a white family. So that's a significant gap, just in terms of the principles of the country and what it takes to really bring everybody into the prosperity that this country has. That should be something that we are all concerned about. Economic mobility is the American dream, and it's not happening for a large section of our population.
Two of the proposals that the Democrats are touting, and in fact, the state of Missouri dealt with this issue, they're raising the minimum wage. Every county, irrespective of their income, from the richest to the most economically challenged counties, every county voted to increase the minimum wage here in the state of Missouri, and that measure passed. What is your response to that? Because that's one of the things that the Democrats that their plan is in the first 100 hours to increase the minimum wage. Does that help?
Well, first of all, congratulations. That's wonderful that you all were able to win that increase. But we certainly need one, and not every state has increased the minimum wage, and yours still is not raised enough. What we found in looking at the Democrats' proposal to raise it up to $7.25 nationally by the year 2009 is that even at that rate, a family will not be even up to the poverty level. So right now, the poverty level for a family of
4 is about $20,000 a year. But if you're making $7.25 an hour, a one-income earner would only be bringing in about $15,000 a year. So that's not even up to the poverty level. So
isn't that remarkable to think that we live in this, the most economically blessed nation, they say, in the world, and our minimum wage doesn't even give a person, doesn't raise them out of poverty.
That's right. And if we continue to raise the minimum wage by 70 cents every year, you wouldn't get to the poverty level until 2013. So that's why we think, well, this is the first 100 hours, but we've really got to see something better in hour 101 and beyond.
Do you get a sense, Maysure, that the issues that the first 100 hours will address have more to do with people that are defined as middle-class folks as opposed to people that are defined as poor folks?
Well, it's not really that. I think that the intention of the Democrats, at least with the minimum wage proposal, is to bring up folks at the bottom. But I think if they don't deal with other people, they need to be looking at the various levels, because I think with the minimum wage, even if you bring people at the very bottom up, they're at the bottom of the wage scale, but we know that their unemployment is high. For African Americans, it's twice as high as for whites. So in our report, we say that we really have to look at employment and to figure out how do we get full employment and how do we make sure that we target those jobs so that more of them go to those people of color who have been left out of the prosperity, as you said, that this country enjoys.
Well, what should, instead of increasing the, or in addition to increasing the minimum wage, what else, what should also be attached to that, to the first 100-hour plan?
Well, I think that we would feel much better if the Democrats had said, you know, after this 100 hours, that's only a small down payment on what we're going to do, and we are going to address the racial disparity as well. So full employment, a commitment to full employment would really be a good thing. There's so many jobs that need to be done in the United States. We were rather shocked that Katrina was not mentioned during the 2006 elections, and the Democrats still haven't really talked that much about it. But think about how an investment in rebuilding New Orleans and not going to Halliburton, but going to the people who are unemployed, putting them to work, as we have done in the past during the WPA, for example, Job Corps, Conservation Corps. There are examples from our past that we could be using today. Unionization makes a huge difference as well, and now only about 12% of the workforce is unionized. There's an Employee Free Choice Act. There's 57 million people who would like to join unions who cannot because employers do all kinds of dirty tricks. They could pledge to pass that act. That's another thing that could be done. And, of course, labor rights for everyone. We have so many Latino workers, for example, who don't even get basic labor rights. They're employed by somebody, and their employers can really take advantage of them, and they're afraid to even report labor violations. You know, they're not hiring themselves. Somebody is hiring them.
Another issue that the Democrats are taking on in their first 100 hours, college loans. They want to cut interest rates in half. Talk to us about that. How does that impact upon people of color? How does it address this economic divide?
Well, my colleague Khalil Nieves, who I think is going to come on pretty soon, is our real expert on education. But just to say that the cost of college has gone up astronomically in the last number of years, so that it has risen 51% even at public universities. So it costs about $13,000 a year on the average to go to college. I mean, public universities used to be free. I mean, back in our grandfather's day, you know, you could go for really just about nothing. So the loans and the grants really don't cover nearly as much as they used to. So that is causing a big problem, dropouts, lack of enrollments, and so on.
So what should they be doing?
Well, again, we think that affirmative action and some more targeted approaches are still very necessary, and that a allegedly colorblind approach doesn't really work, that you have to think concretely and intentionally. We know that people of color are falling behind. We want them to be at parity with whites. So let's think specifically about what we can do about that. Since the erosion of affirmative action, we've seen declining enrollments. So
you know, the need for that is not over, and the Democrats need to reaffirm that.
And we're going to take a quick break here. I am talking to Meishu Liu. She's the Executive Director for United for a Fair Economy, joining us from Boston. We're talking about their report, their brand-new released report, State of the Dream 2007, Voting Blue, Yet Staying in the Red. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move. One day the engineer wanted a bite to eat. He let the monkey sit in
the... This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
You in need of financial information that can change your life? Then you need to listen to the Pastor's Hour to Empower each and every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock here on WGNU. Hosted by Minister Ernest Greenlee, Reverend James Willoughby, Mr. Rabbani, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown. It's designed to provide solutions to the needs of the people, the church, pastors, seniors, youth, and the community at large. Remember, your life does have value. All you need to do is unlock the potential. Find out how on the Pastor's Hour to Empower every Tuesday night at 8 here on AM 920 WGNU.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down, don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground, and if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at this speed of sound, remember what I told you, and don't you dare look down.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This morning I am talking about a new report that has come out by United for a Fair Economy, State of the Dream 2007, Voting Blue, Staying in the Red. We are talking this morning with the Executive Director, Meishu Liu, and she's joining us from Boston. And also joining us this morning is Khalil Nieves. He's the Education Specialist specializing in racial wealth divide. He's also joining us from Boston. Khalil, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you.
It's great to have you here. And we touched a little bit on the education piece before we got you on the line. So I would like for you to take us through a little bit more detail with the education divide here. Talk to us about the Democrats' plan for addressing education and the issues that are not included in that.
One of the issues that the Democrats are focusing on is cutting in half the interest rate on loans. And this is good, however, it doesn't go far enough. For instance, if a person makes minimum wage, they'll make an entire $15,080 a year. The average costs for public universities are now $13,000. So cutting the interest rates helps, but we also need to look at increasing of wages. We also have to consider that we need more grants, not loans. The average African-American student comes out with $2,000 more in loans than the average white person.
And that's due to?
That's due to the fact that in this country, the most wealth that a person gains is through their home ownership. The average African-American has one-sixth the home equity that the average white person has in this country. So black people start out at a disadvantage. They have their relatives aren't able to, in general, assist them with loans or assistance, whereas the average white person, this is the average, not all, they're able to give them some type of assistance. So you have the beginning, you have less assets to draw upon, and you go into more debt.
And race also plays other ways with the acquiring of higher education.
It plays in a number of different ways. Jonathan Colville's book in 2005, The Shame of the Nation, he goes around and he looks at the discrepancy between what is paid per student in, I believe, six major cities. Boston was one of these. In Boston, if the school is, for example, 81% white, they receive on average $5,000 more per student expenditure a year. So if you look at what's happening in the public schools that are preparing our children for college, our students are starting at a tremendous disadvantage that continues to accelerate.
And yet and still, and this is back to you, Meishu, yet and still we don't see anything in this 100-hour plan that addresses the issue of race head on.
That's correct, and that really is our problem. A lot of these proposals will do good for some people. We're certainly happy to see them taking on the drug companies and the oil companies as these proposals do. However, we really feel, given the need and the loyalty of the people of color in terms of their voting patterns, that more is deserved.
A debt is owed.
Excuse me?
A debt is owed.
Yes, absolutely. And really, that was Martin Luther King's point when he went to Washington when he gave his I Have a Dream speech. People don't remember that he went there not to talk about a dream, but as he said, to cash a promissory note, that there was a promise that had been made, and they were there to cash that check to make good on it. We're still waiting to cash that check.
And let's step to the Medicaid issue, because to me this is all of these issues are very, very important, but the medical issue is one that really touches my heart because of recent changes. Can you talk to us about what the Democrats' plan is to address the issue of Medicaid or to address the medical issues and how it doesn't do that?
Well, the main thing that they're dealing right now with this 100-hour agenda is to deal with the cost of prescription drugs.
Right.
And once again, we're happy that they've decided that they are going to recommend that the government negotiate with pharmaceutical companies so that they can get cheaper drug prices and pass those savings along to seniors on Medicare. I mean, right now you can get a prescription for the same drug for your dog. That's a fraction of what it costs for a human.
Mm.
So it's quite ridiculous the way we're being gouged by the pharmaceuticals. However, low-income seniors are disproportionately people of color, and they were already subsidized under Medicaid. Now they've been switched into Medicare, but this particular proposal helps the more middle-income seniors who were not subsidized and who had to pay out of pocket. So they're the ones who are going to get these lower drug benefits. That's a disproportionately white population. So, again, it's not that we're saying that this is bad. We certainly want everyone to be able to save more. However, in terms of closing the race gap, it doesn't do it.
And you throughout the report, you give little stories of individuals that are individually have been impacted on these by these issues. And you talk about how, in one case, one person, all of her medicine was paid for under Medicaid.
Exactly, uh-huh. And then she got switched over to Medicare, which is what they're doing. They're putting people from Medicaid into the Medicare Part D, the drug benefit program. And she said they didn't cover the medication that she needed, so she got the big runaround in order to try to get what used to come much easier. So there's a lot of bureaucratic glitches to be solved with this plan.
And also this, what I got out of her story as well is the fact that because she happened to be blessed with the ability to be mobile, to go back, and also the ability of spirit to be able to confront these people and keep pushing at it till she got what she needed, most people aren't blessed with that.
That's
and
right.
So she seemed to be more lucky than anything.
More lucky, and she's probably one of those people that, you know, white folks say, you know, pushy, aggressive,
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of other words that we
yes.
don't want to mention.
Right. But she got what she wanted. But
she got what she wanted. People do what they have to do.
Mm.
You know, just in terms of, Khalil talked about going really public education being the basis for some of the problems with higher ed. Similarly with health care, it's not just getting drugs when you need them after you're already sick, but there's a need for health insurance for all. Right now, people of color in general are about a third of the population, but they are more than half of the uninsured population in the United States. And that's probably one of the reasons that there are greater health problems.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
getting some kind of universal health coverage from birth on would be really good to put on the agenda for the Democrats.
And Khalil, you gave a kind of a personal testimony within the body of this report, and you talked about Martin Luther King's grandchildren. Can you share that with us and the point that you were making with that?
Yes, let me let Khalil take that one about...
Yes, and I was directing that to Khalil.
That question?
Yes. I'm sorry?
Could you repeat that question?
Certainly. Within the body of the report, you talk about, you give a segment here on Martin Luther King's grandchildren, and you kind of go through what you the way that you got your education and the way that your education was paid for compared to what's going on today. Can you share that story with us?
Sure. Because of the commitment of the U.S. government at that time, it opened up, it dealt with the inequities in society, and it focused on the groups that needed it most. I happen to have been in that group, and therefore I was able to benefit from that. But as I've seen my own children grow up, I've seen a continuing elimination of those benefits, so it's become harder and harder. So there was a time when there was much more access, and I benefited, and of course my children benefited, but they're not able to benefit, and my grandchildren will benefit even less.
Because you talk about the fact that it cost you $6,000 a year, but you were able to get a Pell Grant.
Oh yeah.
And what? And a Pell Grant covered how much of the of your?
It covered about half of what I needed.
And that's and the other piece of this, Khalil, I think that's important historically to add to this is at that time when your Pell Grant was covering 84% of your tuition, that's when there was an unprecedented number of black folks getting into college.
Oh yeah, there was a tremendous increase during that period, and it benefited black people all across the board. For example, between 1962 and 1969, the overall jobless rate for African Americans declined from 10.9% to 6.4%. For black married males, the unemployment dropped from 7.9% to 2.5%. During the 1990s, there was a doubling of enrollment in law school. And so it was a tremendous benefit. And what happens with increased educational access, the entire U.S. economy benefits as well. So, for example, we're facing by later in this century, 7 million college-educated jobs will go unfilled. If those jobs are filled, it will add $250 billion to the U.S. economy and $85 billion in taxes. So, for example, the Latinos have the youngest group, they're the youngest population. If more access is granted to them and to other minorities, we can benefit an additional $250 billion in income and $85 billion in tax-related income.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Khalil Nieves, education specialist specializing in racial wealth divide, and Meishu Liu, executive director of United for a Fair Economy. We're talking about the State of the Dream 2007, voting blue, staying in the red. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
What America needs is affordable health insurance.
Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy. Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The discussion this hour is the State of the Dream 2007, Voting Blue, Staying in the Red, a report from United for a Fair Economy. We have joining us from Boston, Meishu Liu, the Executive Director for United for a Fair Economy, and Khalil Nieves. He's an education specialist in racial wealth, the divide. And one of the things that Meishu, this is directed towards to you. One of the issues that the Democratic majority will be addressing is this the issue of rolling back the multi-billion-dollar subsidies to the large oil companies, and they want to invest that money in alternative fuel research and development. How does that impact positively on the community of color, or and African folks in particular? Does that help us?
Well, in the very long run, if we can stop our dependence on oil, that is a good thing. And I think this could be good for Native American communities in that a lot of the drilling, the rights that we give
to these big oil corporations and gas companies are on native-owned land. So really, right now, you've seen the skyrocketing price of gas and the profits of the oil companies that have not been passed along. So we're glad that the Democrats are taking on that industry. However, if you look at how they're going to invest the money in the ethanol industry in the Midwest, first of all, that's not where large numbers of African Americans or Latinos live. It's more of a white part of the country, and that industry is more dominated by whites as well. So we don't see that the job creation will really benefit people of color as much as it does whites. There are also engineering and science jobs, but unfortunately, because of the, we've already talked about education, so as we look at the declining numbers of people of color that are getting those graduate degrees, especially because of the huge expense, they're not going to benefit from some of those new jobs. Really, what people need...
And one more area that I'd like for you to talk about, black farmers. Will black farmers benefit from this reinvestment into the Midwest?
No, absolutely not. And I think it's just a concern that we've had for some time about the loss of land for black farmers in the South. And there was a suit against the USDA because they had given loans to white farmers but not to black farmers. So we see a systematic disinvestment in African American farming and businesses. So
there could be
again,
your report talks about there could be a Southern strategy.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about that.
You know, so again, this has to do with the fact that the government needs to think intentionally about how do we use our policies to start closing the race gap. Let's not just go to the Midwest where the ethanol industry has already gotten a start, but let's think about how do we spread the benefit, how do we spread the wealth, how do we make sure that people of color will really get the benefit of these new programs.
Oh, if I could come in at this point with something personal.
Certainly.
Black farmers are less than 1% of the nation's farmers. So even if we shift to the South, it's still not going to benefit because black farmers have 0.003% of U.S. farmland. Now, one of the reasons is what made you point out that this discrimination, and I personally understand this because I'm involved in a class action suit in the Virgin Islands, where in 1982 I applied for a loan to get farmland. I went through a whole year, and you know, they kept telling me to bring this information. When I brought it, then the man says, we got a new director, you have to start all over. So this happened to a large number of people in the Virgin Islands, and we have a class action suit. So if affirmative action had been implemented, thousands of other farmers would have had the land, and we would be in a better position to benefit from the Democrats' initiative. So unless these areas are addressed, we're going to continue to fall behind.
And, Amazu, talk to us. We have a few more minutes left of what's left out of, because your report deals with what's left out of this 100-hour plan, and you spoke a little bit about Katrina, but talk about housing. Amazingly, that's not part of it.
That's absolutely right. I mean, as Khalil has said, housing is just one of the most important pieces of equity that a family can have. And right now, African Americans owned housing at about, it's under 50% own their own homes, where it's about 75% for white families. And, of course, the value of those homes is quite different. But one of the problems right now is that there have been many subprime loans, meaning higher interest rates given to people of color in a very targeted and predatory way. And unfortunately, as we're seeing the economy shift, a lot of people are going to be in big trouble, and we see that foreclosures are already on the rise, and it's going to get worse. So not only do people have less wealth, but they're going to be losing wealth in the next period of time, and disproportionately people of color. So we really think that the government needs to look at that. How are they going to shore that up?
And also, Khalil, that when we talk about housing and we talk about foreclosures and we talk about people getting loans, we also need to talk about predatory loans as well, don't we?
Yes, and fortunately, North Carolina has taken a good initiative in this area, and we're encouraging other people to look at the North Carolina initiative. So the Democrats need to also bring this issue up and focus on predatory lending.
What is that? What is the North Carolina Initiative in a nutshell?
The North Carolina Initiative did a study and found out that African Americans were being targeted with predatory lending on the secondary loan, which dealt with remodeling. And they've developed a model that other states are looking at as a model of how do you address it and how do you stop this. So the predatory lending for the secondary loans has dramatically improved in North Carolina, but they have not addressed the primary, that is when you go for the actual house. So that's one area that the Democrats could focus on, is giving stronger legislation to stop predatory lending on primary lending.
And this question is directed to both of you in these last few minutes that we have here. Your report concludes that civil rights legislation that resulted from the movement of the 60s and the 50s spoke specifically to the fact that targeted policies were necessary to correct historical inequities. How much stomach do you think that this Congress has to even talk about correcting historical inadequacies, particularly those that are based upon race? Do you think do you see any signs within either this first 100-hour legislation or the comments, the statements that are being made with these new majorities? Does it appear that they're willing to even talk about it, let alone come up with policies about it?
I think that when we look at how black people have traditionally supported the Democrats, whether the Democrats are willing to face it or not, that black people and other people of color need to take a more sophisticated role in pushing the issue, whether they are or not. Personally, I feel that we need to put pressure on the Democrats because they're only going to go so far. But the burden is upon black people and other people of color to develop a more sophisticated approach to dealing with national policy.
Well, you know, there has been a bit of a deafening silence from the Democrats on the issue of closing the racial divide and to start to reaffirm their commitment to a civil rights and an economic rights agenda.
Barack Obama is not talking about
that? In that if you look at the demographics of this country that are changing by the middle of this century, it's going to be a majority non-white country. So they would be smart to take a longer-term view and to really do what is needed to keep that wonderful base that they have of loyal voters.
But change always came from the outside forcing the inside to do right, didn't it?
Doesn't it? It absolutely did. But you had bolder leadership in the 60s than you have today among the Democrats, and we're hoping to, you know, beef up their backbone there.
So you don't think that Barack Obama is the solution?
Well, not yet. Haven't really heard enough from him to know if that's true.
And where can people get copies of your report, The State of the Dream 2007, Voting Blue, Staying in the Red?
It's at www.faireconomy.org, and keep up your great work there in Missouri.
Meishu Liu, thank you so much. Executive Director, United for a Fair Economy, Khalil Nieves, thank you so much for joining us as well.
And we thank you for this opportunity.
Take care now. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Don't forget that there is a funeral today. There's a funeral today for a young man, a baby, that was shot down, shot dead in the heart, in the head, by the St. Louis police officer. The funeral takes place at noon today. Visitation is at 11 o'clock. It's at the First Freewell Missionary Baptist Church at the corner of Labadee and Clara. That's today at 12. The visitation is at 11. Please come. Please attend, because this is unacceptable. This is absolutely unacceptable, indefensible. The same police officer, the same cop who killed this baby, hollered out over his radio to the other cops, and nobody said anything about it, referred to African people as the N-word. Come get me, these N's are coming. That's after he had killed the baby. That's after he had killed the baby. Oh, my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. St. Louis Public Schools Watch is tomorrow. We have many issues to address with Peter Downs on that. Very, very, very important issue. We'll be talking about that tomorrow. We also have some more riveting radio guests for you tomorrow. You don't want to miss the show. I will see you all at the funeral. This is Liz Brown. Thank you for listening this morning, and stay strong.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us.